Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 188 for March 30th, 2009. Judgmental. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Carbonite, the leader in online backup. Backup your PC or Mac off-site, securely and automatically. For a free trial offer plus 2 free months with purchase, go to Carbonite.com. Offer code TWIT. And by Audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get 2 free books. Go to audible.com/TWIT2. And by GoToMeeting. For your free 30-day trial, visit GoToMeeting.com/TWIT. This is TWIT, This Week in Tech, and with me today, two old colleagues. People I haven't seen in years and years and years. Actually, people I wish I hadn't seen in years and years and years, and somebody I haven't seen in years and years and years. Starting with John C. Dvorak on my left. He's actually in studio drinking a fine 2001 Bordeaux today. The Léoville Barton, which he says is pronounced Barton.
Batten.
Irish. Léoville Batten.
It's from Maine.
And he popped the cork on this thing. He said, we got to drink it now. That's what he always does when he gets in here. He says, oh, no, you got to drink this right now. he always finds a wine. Oh, no, you got to drink this right now.
It's a fact.
Also,
I feel that way about all wine.
I'm so glad to see Becky Worley, who I haven't seen in ages. It's nice to see you again. Since I saw you last, you had a baby. Two. Twins.
The same time.
And a show on the Travel Channel. Is that still on the Travel Channel?
No, it is, but they have a new host. I realized that motherhood and pregnancy genes don't go well with treasure hunting.
So what are you doing these days?
I'm working for ABC News. I'm pretty much full-time for Good Morning America.
Full-time? So you go out there how often?
2-3 times a month.
Oh, that's a lot. It is full-time. Wow.
And starting some web elements for them and really trying to figure out, I mean, I basically consume tech media all week long and try and figure out what
how to spit it out
is important for the masses
for ABC
and how to
spit
it out.
So are you their kind of sole arbiter of what's hot in tech?
Well, there's someone who does business and helps us figure that out. And then I've also gotten this strange beat of weird consumer gadgets. So I review infomercials.
I'm so glad I don't have to do that. Oh, you like Miss Snuggie?
Oh,
the queen of the Snuggie.
I had an editorial moment where I said the Snuggie is so overrated. It's an airplane blanket with sleeves.
It's so stupid.
We're not reviewing it. That was my tough
call. No, you said, oh, we're not going to cover it. How about the Slanket? Did you cover the Slanket?
Keep up with this crap.
It's a bathroom robe you wear backwards. I have strong opinions, okay?
Becky was the first producer of the Screensavers and Call for Help, later host on Call for Help. We go way, way back.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, it's so nice to see her.
It's really good to see you.
What are the twins' names?
Finn and Emilia. Boy and a girl.
Not Finn and Huck?
No. Decided against the
Finn
console.
And what?
Emilia.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's a Hawaiian name, and she has had many people call her Amalia. So when Obama was elected president, I was thrilled. Because he's the first Hawaiian president
Yeah, Hawaii. Let's really focus on the important part.
I mean, that's what's historic there. Yeah. And secondly, his daughter's name is Malia.
Right.
So people now start pronouncing my kid's name right.
So Malia's a Hawaiian name.
Mary.
Oh, I'll be darned. And Amalia?
Emilia, yeah.
Emilia is just Mary.
Mary. Something like that.
Close enough. Neat. I didn't know that. Oh, that's really cool. Well, it's great to have you both on. There's actually nothing to talk about, so it's good we have some good wine. We have a little cheese a little later on. We can have some bread.
We can talk about Twitter.
No! Okay, now I'm with two people, and everybody who's listening is going to be so glad, who hate Twitter.
I don't hate Twitter
You
at
hate
all.
Twitter talk.
I hate Twitter talk, yeah.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, you made that abundantly clear 2 weeks ago. I got more hate mail from people who agree with you and say, Twits turn into Twitter.
And then the first thing that you do is you bump me.
Yeah, so that's it. I'm never having him back.
My big beef, and I think this is where Dvorak and I actually agree, is that Twitter is like a fraternity. where everybody's just talking about what's happening in the house and, hey, who's you and what's going on and I've got friends and you've got friends and what's new.
But wait a minute.
It just gets so laborious.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's a lot of that. I agree with you. But if you were following Lance Armstrong, for instance, you knew that he broke his collarbone before any news organization told you. In fact, I was talking to somebody, it was last week on NBC, who works for, was it NBC or ABC, who said, yeah, we were way behind on the story. We're trying to break this thing an hour later. And it turns out an hour ago, Lance has Twittered that he broke his collarbone, right? But and that's not news, I guess.
But here's the point, is if you are an assignment desk editor at a major network, you need Twitter. But the signal-to-noise ratio for the average person is so high that we need to minimize, not
getting higher.
Ugh. It's overwhelming.
Curry was telling me how he was using it. He's got a little specialized feed to follow the riots in London. He says all the Twitterers are out there Twittering that the police are coming around the corner and all
that. That's actually very useful. If there's something breaking news, and I think it's going to be more and more that case, you use a search tool in a lot of ways. TweetDeck will do it. Twirl will do it. Even Twitter has its own search.twitter.com.
And
you
Mumbai
can follow
really
that
proved that. And
Mumbai was a big
that
one.
For the first time.
But at the same time, there was controversy over Mumbai because it seemed like some of the news was too fast, was rumor, was not speculation, or was blatantly untrue. People were using it. How long before we start seeing spam and junk and people misusing it,
The thing is, in my opinion, it's already jumped the shark. It's going
it the way. The shark.
I think so.
That's my favorite phrase, jumping the shark. And there's another one that goes along with jumping the shark. I can't remember what it is now. Christopher Walken, fake. See Walken, fake. They bumped him.
It's Calacanis.
It's Calacanis. It is. He does the best impression.
Yeah.
So get ready for this. The University of Virginia, UVA, which was very technical, is a really technical school. In fact, I have... Well, actually, that's from Virginia Tech, but it's a good school for technology, has decided to close its computer labs because everybody's already got a computer.
Probably a ghost town.
That's too bad. And I say that because there's no other place to anonymously post the porn.
Where are you going to spam? Only four freshmen showed up at the University of Virginia in 2007 without a computer of their own. Only four. So the school says, why are we running campus computer labs when everybody who comes here comes with their own computer?
So that somebody can install BitTorrent and use that processing power.
72% running Windows, 26% running Mac OS X. That's kind of a surprise. I thought more Macs were in schools, but apparently not. And six out of the... 3,013 matriculating freshmen had Linux. Six.
Those are the boys. Those are our guys.
They're
our
men.
They're
the ones listening right now.
But that tells me that it can't be that heavy of a CS program if there are only six dudes there with Linux. If you went to Stanford or you went to Berkeley, it'd be...
Yeah, you're right.
You know.
In 97, 10 years earlier, still a lot of computers came in with computers. 74% of incoming freshmen owned computers, but only 16% of those were laptops. They were desktops. People brought desktops to school.
So I am young enough, but old enough, to have had a computer in college.
You had a computer? Oh, you are young.
Dad, my father's here. $5,000? $4,000?
Jim Worley, ladies and gentlemen.
$4,000.
$4,000. He remembers because he wrote the check.
It was $4,000, an Apple II.
You brought an Apple II to college?
For $4,000?
To what? To play Choplifter? What did you bring an Apple II to college for? What?
I made fake IDs. I made fake IDs. I used to print out word process. I had this little graphics program that I did, and that's how I got my start in sort of computer geekery.
There's a great pie chart on Ars Technica of incoming students who own computers at University of Virginia. It's all blue. It's just big blue. Just a big blue pie chart.
So do you remember the old show SCTV with Rick Moranis?
I'm Jerry Todd.
It's hilarious to watch.
You know,
reference for those of us who aren't that old?
It's not that old a show. Watch this. I've got, when you're watching the Jerry Todd show, it's very important. We've got our own lower third graphics. We call those lower third graphics. And I like to change the shade just a little bit every once in a while just to show you that I can do it. Here, let me use the fader and whoa.
Heart
look
wipe,
at that.
Please. Heart wipe.
You
heart wipe.
I can do any kind of wipe you want.
I really need a heart wipe.
I don't know if I have a heart wipe, but I do have the star wipe. That's always a popular one with... Yeah, we've got the technology here. The ladies love it. There you go. There's the round hole wipe. I don't know what good that is.
Wow. That's Leo. That's,
are you excited? I know. It's pretty darn exciting. I even have, thanks to the miracle of modern digital technology, little robots I can run across the screen anytime I want. There he is.
Wow.
He's kind of a... I'm sorry. This is the thing.
Actually become that person.
I am that person. You know, actually, when I first started doing this, I put a video up from SCTV on the blog saying I've turned into Jerry Todd, and it was pulled. They did a DMCA takedown notice shortly after. I think.
Oh yeah, because they're losing their.
What do they care? That show hasn't been on in years.
Okay, I got one more thing to say about this computer situation at UVA.
Yes.
Which is, when I was doing
comedy, it's funnier.
When I was doing Computer Science 106, which was basic programming in C.
Yes.
In grad school, mind you.
Yes.
Sure.
I was getting my handed to me. And the only way I got through it was just throwing myself on the people sitting next to me in the computer lab and asking for help.
Right. Where do you go now?
You threw that. What did you do again?
I threw myself.
Threw herself at them.
Wow. I know. And my father's in the room.
No, she's
a screamer.
I mean,
really, the camaraderie that you get in those environments.
No, I think that's a shame in a way. I mean, after all, it's like saying, oh, everybody who comes to school has their own books.
Point.
What do we need a library for?
Right.
That's a good point.
It's like
there
Starbucks has
there
become.
There is a thing at some level, especially if you're going to be like a Linux user, or just in the early days when you were a CPM user, you had to have somebody next to you half the time. How do you do this? How do you do that?
Right.
And people would show each other how to. It was a lot of folklore involved with
I think
the whole
it's still
thing.
That way in all learning, and I think it's a mistake to get rid of these central locations.
Well, I mean, corporations have figured out that if you lower the walls in the cube farms, productivity goes up because people talk to each other. So,
I don't know if I like that.
Well, same
I don't really want to talk to anybody.
That's a learning environment. I know. No talking
Spends
for you.
All day talking.
God forbid you'd have to speak. But, you know, that there is something for those communal spaces. It doesn't necessarily have to be around.
No, that's a real. I think it's an excellent point, actually. I mean,
especially when you're programming, because everybody hits that roadblock and you just run out of ideas and you need lateral thinking. And for that, you need help.
Yeah.
So,
all right. So UVA, bring back the computer center.
Bring back the lab. Ditch the hardware.
Oh, that's
Serve
a good point.
Serve food instead.
Yeah, have little beanbag chairs.
Have everybody hooked to a network with their machines.
Do you think it's in any way significant? I'm so sorry I brought this up, but I'm going to do it anyway. That Britney Spears has passed Barack Obama on Twitter.
But he stopped Twittering.
Wasn't I the one who years ago said something about Britney Spears?
You were the one who said this is when it will jump the shark. Well, you didn't use those.
No, I said that's when it would become extremely...
Actually, Ashton Kutcher. Now, that's really the end of the world. Ashton Kutcher has passed Barack Obama on Twitter.
Again, like, do you read the guy's Twitters? They're so
idiotic,
just annoying and egomaniacal.
Yeah.
It's like, let's do a thing that shows Mrs. Kutcher how much the world loves her.
Oh, God.
And let's all tweet how much we love
Well, for a person who hates Twitter, you follow these things. I don't even have him listed.
I just wrote your
CG
out.
Hilarious.
I did, for some reason, I just wrote your CG out as Demi Moore.
Hey.
I don't know what that. I don't know why I did that.
Dire hair.
Ooh.
Let's take a visual
of that thing in Charlie's Angels, the surfboard. Just run with that for a while.
Is it BeckyWorley.com?
BeckyWorley.com.
What will we find there?
Everything
stuff.
But her Twitter name.
Yeah, old stuff.
What is your Twitter name? Becky Worley?
I think it's B Worley. I really just lurk. I have no interest in.
Yeah. I'm kind of losing my interest.
You've said that since the first day
I know,
of this
and
thing.
I can't.
And you went from one to another every alternative, and then you get real jealous when everybody passes your numbers, and you say you lost interest. I mean,
okay, get this. This is another Twitter story. As long as we're going to do it, I'm just going to get out of my.
You're right. We're back.
I'm going to get out of my. I'm going to get out of my system, and then we're going to stop, and we're going to move on.
By the way, as we look back in history, it's going to be Stephanopoulos. That was the point when it crossed.
When
the
George
line.
Stephanopoulos went on Twitter, why?
The McCain interview was.
Oh, that was the stupidest thing ever. John said it. It was a stunt, pure stunt, stupid.
Which, I mean, in some senses, it gained enough notoriety amongst a certain, you know, level of viewer, but. I mean, when we look back, really, I think that might be the point where we all go, all right, that was it.
Here's the question, and Twitter has announced it's going to start charging businesses for an enhanced version of Twitter.
Freemiums.
Is there a gun around here?
Yeah, we'll find one for you.
I think there is.
There probably is. I got everything else.
Yeah.
You know, you could brain me with my Emmy. The thing is sharp. I was just
noticing that.
I think if I die...
The camera shot.
Oh, yeah, I keep it in the shot, you bet.
Nice.
If I die... I want to be, you know, I want the detective to say, those puncture wounds, they look just like the wings on an Emmy Award. Is there one around here anywhere? Oh, my God, it's on the mantle.
On the, and then he would say, but it's the small Emmy.
Oh, break my heart. I'm already dead, and you're going to break my heart.
Doesn't that just mean it has the plastic base?
No, the little
It's got a real base. It's just not the big round
okay,
base.
Okay, quick, free form. What would you pay for?
Twitter?
I pay for followers if I was a business.
Yeah. Well, that's what Jason Calacanis said.
Why are we even talking about it? Who cares?
Okay.
My job
I'm done.
To,
I'm done. I don't want to talk about it.
My job is to keep us on the news.
When I don't want to talk
my
anymore.
When Jason comes back on, he'll talk about it to extremes, and so we don't need to help
We don't need
him
to raise this in any way, shape,
Buck,
or form.
Yes.
Each person is probably worth a dollar.
Mark Cuban screaming at referees on Twitter.
Ooh.
What, is he Twitter? What's a referee supposed to be getting tweets?
No, one of the, I can't remember which team it was, they had a player who was Twittering at halftime. Who's
yeah.
tweeting at halftime.
Yeah, he got in a little bit of a trouble.
How do we know he's not IMing?
What's the difference?
Here's the Here's the tweet.
I mean,
no,
not
he
that
said,
I don't
he
know,
said,
but...
No, the player said, I'm sneaking off to twit during at halftime, and he got in big trouble. Mark Cuban, how do they not call a tech on J.R. Smith for coming off the bench to taunt our player on the ground? Scary part of that same play. This is all on his you're right. I'm sick of it. I want
Signal
to throw
noise.
Up.
That's
I want
I
to throw
say.
Up.
Who gives a rip?
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
No, it's unbelievable. That
you know what's unbelievable?
Ends.
I think it's secretly sponsored.
Steve Wynn. Yeah, they're paying
the
me.
The name of the show is No
they're
Accident, people.
They're paying me. Steve Wozniak survived Dancing with the Stars.
But did you see Denise Richards?
She, yeah.
And that other woman? Oh, my God.
Oh, you know, Glinda Carlisle was pretty bad. Oh, you mean the big-boobed woman?
How could that happen
Holly
on
Go Lightly. What
I
about
mean,
it?
It's network television.
What's,
that was
what
happened?
That's your network. What's wrong with that?
This is your network that you're condemning.
You thought it was too sexy? What did you think?
It was.
She, you know, she was Hef's former girlfriend.
Oh, my God. She's
who?
I've never seen someone with such big boobs be so unsexy in my whole
exactly
life.
Exactly right. You're exactly right.
Oh, my
there was
God.
No, there was no sex appeal, no sensuality, nothing.
Okay, for those of you who didn't see it, we're talking about a woman with double D boobs who was less sexy than the Waz. I just want you to, like, visual.
You're actually right.
Naked of the Waz on a Segway with lasers.
More attractive.
More attractive.
More
than this
attractive.
Double D bimbo. Oh my God! It was.
That's crazy. Kind of a sad statement, but you're absolutely right. Now, how did Waz survive? It must have been the internet votes, right?
Well, it's
because he's the worst. You
got
to admit.
No, he's got people voting.
This
for him
is this
it.
Effect. Though,
I voted for him. Voted for him.
A scam.
13
just
times.
To get him, you know, they know he's got a following. He's gonna.
Two theories: one mine, one someone else's. Someone else's. This he was so.
It's fixed.
Absolutely destroyed by the judges who said it was the worst thing.
Oh, they called him a Teletubby, a dancing Teletubby.
The natural effect for the voter is to sympathize.
Underdog.
Second thing, there's some sort of a botnet out there. It's possible that Conficker is actually
VoteWaz.org.
Yes, that's what
Waz
it is.
Waz knows how to do this stuff. He's probably voting for himself.
VoteWaz.org. No, you know, we had Waz on and did a little interview with him, and he said it would be wrong.
That means he did it.
Remember that he and Steve Jobs got their start making blue boxes. He said it would be wrong for people to stuff the ballot box for me. But he was upset. He was actually upset at the judge. He retracted it later, but he was upset at the judges. He said after week number one, I can't decide which is worse, talking about Twitter or Dancing with the Stars.
I think you're trying to top yourself.
The bottom.
Then nothing happened this week.
Yes, okay. Apple sued over various infringements regarding the iPhone.
Oh, that always happens. Apple sued every 3 weeks.
Did anybody turn their lights off at 8:30 last night?
Eiffel Tower did, but only for 5 minutes. Did you?
I forgot about it.
I didn't forget. I saw it was 8:22. I thought, do I really want to turn my lights off? Nobody will notice.
I wanted to go to my porch and look at San Francisco because I could see the whole city.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah. Well,
did they? You forgot.
I forgot.
I loved Chris Kosach put on Facebook later that evening. I was sitting in the dark with the baby. Does that count? Accidentally Earth hours.
AT&T ISPs will act as a cop for the RIAA.
Not 100% true.
Okay, give us the facts. We're getting, ladies and gentlemen, we're trying to get back to an actual, real, old-fashioned
Twitch
show.
I'm just
going to
drink my wine.
Well, the point is...
He's going to drink his blues away.
Yeah. He'll have the Twitter wine. Well, the question is... Whether they're just sending the letters, threatening letters saying, hey, the RIAA has said.
That yeah, they asked him, would you disconnect somebody? And they said it violates the terms of service. They didn't say yes or no. They said it violates the terms of service. They're not going to. This is BS.
80-20. 80% of people get that letter. They're freaking out.
People already get that letter. Every ISP's already passed. Most of the time what they do, they get the John Doe subpoena from the RIAA. The John Doe subpoena. The RIAA only knows an IP address. Would you like some more?
Did I just kill you guys on that?
You've kind of powered right through that. The RIA already only has the address, doesn't have the name. They go to the ISP. The ISP knows the name. They say somebody's streaming Pirates of the Caribbean 3, you know, endlessly.
What these guys do?
Yeah, they're just streaming. So the ISP will send a note.
Let's start it again.
They'll say it's come to our attention. You're streaming Pirates of the Caribbean. Would you please stop? And they've been doing that all along. I don't think they really. Let's ask the chat room. Has anybody in the chat room been kicked off? I mean, these guys. Well, of course, they're all online. But has anybody had trouble? Has anybody received one of these letters? Have they ever been kicked off? Did they stop? Most people are going to get that note and they're going to stop. They're going to steal the neighbor's Wi-Fi and do it from there. They're not going to keep doing it. No, nobody in the chat rooms. Well, some one guy says the RIA burned my house to the ground.
You know,
here's somebody who got a letter. After the letter, did you do anything? Kept doing it.
And then what happened?
He said, another guy says, typically it's 3 strikes.
Oh. This sounds like steroids.
Well,
and
these
baseball.
Guys know that they know the details.
This is the Twit Army, man. They know how to do everything.
Yeah, I did it once.
These guys single-handedly kept wazzing Dancing with the Stars. Are you kidding me?
Takes one news story. I mean, really, this is like the single mom who's a nurse working double shifts, whose teenage son, you know, gets sued by the RIAA and going to eat all her savings.
And everybody that gets all the attention.
One story scares enough people.
That's the point. The RIA doesn't actually even have to win these cases.
No.
What they don't want is to lose one of these cases, because that will get equal attention and maybe encourage the pirates, right?
Well, they're bailing out on this. I think this is going to be
It's been a bad strategy.
That's why
all
they
along.
Went with the AT&T thing.
By the way, I'm just going to be contrarian for a second. And despite my tone of voice, I think that there's got to be a solution. I really think that this, if piracy is as serious as they're saying, I mean, what do you guys think? Is it a percentage? Is it 10%? Is it eating the lunch of this industry?
You know, there's a guy, actually, I've corresponded with him a little bit. There's a program called World of Goo, $20, great program, Mac, Windows, no copy protection at all. Very unusual for a video game. He says, we know that people are pirating it like crazy. In fact, you know, we see the stats. It's the number one, you know, distributed game out there. We don't put any DRM in it. And he said, for one reason, it doesn't stop piracy. So we could put the copy protection in, but all it would do is annoy our users, our paying customers, without in any way stopping the pirates. So we feel like, what are we going to do? We can't stop it. We're selling it enough. And that's the real point is, you know, if somebody downloads Pirates of the Caribbean 3, does that mean they didn't buy the DVD? I don't think that guy was going to buy the DVD. Does it mean they don't see the movie? I don't think that guy was, you know, I don't think they lose money to it.
It's the old argument. This is the argument I've been, you know, kind of pushing forever.
They don't, it doesn't cost
this
them,
is like
really.
The guys, there's some of these guys out there who've literally collected every song, known song in the universe.
But they're not going to buy those.
They weren't going to buy every known song in the universe. And in fact, they don't have the life, a long enough life to listen to every song in the universe.
Poops Tech. Nice handle. Says CD and DVD sales up 14% this year. They're not losing money.
Po-Ops Tech.
Oh, Po-Ops Tech. Sorry, poops. I mean pops. I mean Po-Ops.
Okay, so this is my beef is this, is DRM sucks. But free market solutions to the problem, I'm just curious. I mean, I really don't know.
I think you just live with it. I think you live with it.
Exactly. Times have changed, and that's the way it is. That's today's landscape.
What are you going to do?
How much money is the RIAA and all of these labels? How much money are they wasting by just pursuing this?
Lots.
And is that the free market solution? They just let it go.
Well, presumably it pays for itself, because most people do settle. I mean, it's only a few $1,000s, but most people settle when they get that letter. They're not going to fight them in court, so they make a few $1,000s. I bet you it breaks. You know, I have many artists say, okay, where is the money? They don't give the money to the artists when they win, by the way.
The artists always get screwed.
The artist always loses.
Okay, let's go to another topic. See, I'm keeping the show moving, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm trying to be
that's supposed
Deborah,
to. I know. It's well. You're not doing the job.
The Conficker
Becky,
worm.
I brought you in here. Conficker, down a dup. This is an interesting story. It was estimated, we talked about this a few weeks ago, that 9 to 15 million people have this worm on their computer right now and don't know it.
3 to 12 are some of the other estimates. So
3 to 12 million?
Yeah.
Or 3 to 12 people?
3 to 12, yeah, people. My mom, your mom.
That's three.
That's Rhode Island to Hawaii, right there.
Right there. April 1st, we know that Conficker variant C, which is the most prevalent, will go out to the internet to download a new payload. But we don't know what the payload is. Nobody does. Nobody will till April 1st. Symantec, if you go to their website, says, don't worry about it. No big deal. We just know that it's going to, you know, it'll just make it harder to detect. That's all it's going to do. Okay. I think what they're saying is, don't worry, it's not going to erase your hard drive. Of course it's not, because they want to stay on your system.
Whatever happened to those good old days?
When they would erase your drive.
Melissa, 10 years old last week.
They would erase your hard drive. They don't do that anymore. These kids.
One of the things that Conficker does that I love is it prevents you from going to any of the antivirus sites where you could get a removal tool. It removes, I mean, it's these guys are smart.
But okay, so this reporting to domain names on April 1st, it has the power to do that right now.
Right.
It's just that there's code written into the virus that says April 1st.
April
is a
1st
special
is a magic day.
That seems to me like a marketing stunt. That says to me,
it is. I agree 100%.
Because this is
the April Fool's joke is that there's nothing going to happen on April 1st.
Nothing's going to happen?
No, I disagree. I think the possibility is that
nothing's going to happen.
There is
April
an
1st.
Auction happening.
An auction? Oh, it's a marketing stunt, not for us.
Oh, an underground auction for
It's for the bad guys. What would you like Conficker to do today?
Thought.
Brilliant. That's right.
Could be.
I think you're right.
Because
but can we get in on this auction?
A lot of malice.
I need to send out some spam.
It has a good storyline for the media to pick up on.
So it's going
to
get a lot of publicity, as it has.
Yes. And I think that if I were
That's brilliant.
Nefarious,
you're absolutely right. That's exactly
this
it.
This would be the way to market to someone who's nefarious.
So how do we find it? Can you Google Conficker auction?
You got to go to blackgoogle.com or whatever Google is. The dark Google. Dark Google.
Darkgoogle.com.
I'm just kidding. I have no idea.
That's actually not a bad idea for a product.
Oh, man. That is brilliant. Dark Google. Where all the stuff that Google won't.
It's if you've been
Everything that says, all the ones that have the little no robots, you know, you can put a little.
Yeah, all the. I ignore robots.txt and search those places.
Only.
Yes. But I mean, the thing is do you think that the economy is actually going to take viruses and botnets and turn them from the sort of petty vandalism that they've been in the past into actual economic engines.
Oh, it has. That's happened a long time ago.
But to what extent that
Huge.
Average Joe is aware?
7 to 10. Well, I don't know about the average Joe. Well, okay. 7 to 10 cents per computer co-opted. That's the average going price. Actually, the BBC got in a little trouble because they bought a botnet, 20,000 computer botnet for a documentary.
That's funny.
What did they pay?
They didn't say, but they said it was surprisingly affordable.
So it's a couple grand.
It's a small botnet. 20,000, you know, relatively small.
So they could pay 10 cents a piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
20 grand.
20 grand.
And
so 2,000 for 20.
I was told there'd be no math.
2,000 is $200.
No. If they have 20,000 bots and you're going for 10 cents, it would be $2,000.
$2,000.
It's the blonde not doing the math, by the way.
Math is hard. So the point being, then they bought it and then they showed it. They did a documentary. They showed it. And then they made a little mistake. They sent a notice. They changed the screensaver of everybody who was on the botnet to say, hello, this is the BBC. your computer's been taken over by bad guys. We suggest you clean it. And they're being sued already. They're getting big trouble because they used the botnet. They used it to change somebody's computer.
They're crazy.
Stupid thing to do.
That's got to have something to do with, like, the Samaritan clause of law, that if you're trying to do the right
thing. No. In fact,
they were trying to do the
it
right
happened
thing.
Before.
They're trying to get people to watch
the Is there show. A Samaritan clause?
I think when you're trying to give someone
You can't get sued,
CPR,
right.
You can't,
yeah,
you
yeah.
Can't be
you're,
sued
you're not
if
liable.
Damage if you break their rib.
Right.
Now, whether that has a...
That's interesting. That might be... We got to get Denise Howell on this. That might get them off the hook.
Maybe.
In
but
Britain, nothing.
Britain's different.
Britain's different in many, many ways.
They're
no
more
Samaritans. They're more?
They're
it's a fascist state. Let's face it.
See, I'm playing Dvorak before he can even get there.
Communist isn't fascist.
No.
Let's not confuse the two.
Well, it doesn't matter. It had as much forethought on my side as it did on his.
Becky doing the best she can. here's another story that kind
of. You know, my favorite thing about you is that you seem misogynistic, but you're actually even remotely.
He's
love
a pussycat.
That about you.
Yeah. I don't know why you even think that.
It's just your tone.
So. What is it about my tone? So my wife...
Your wife on the air.
My wife listened to the No Agenda show once.
That was her mistake.
One time. She says I'm rude. She says, you know, now I understand that you're rude with everybody, not just with the family. I'm thinking, what do you mean I'm rude?
Aren't wives a pain in the ass?
It's like, I'm not rude, though. I'm not getting this.
They always have to be telling the truth and all that stuff.
But I guess I'm rude here. I'm just constantly rude.
You're not rude.
So here we go. The open cloud movement. I want to talk about this. You must have some thoughts on this. The cloud manifesto.
I know you love the cloud stuff. No, I don't know about the cloud manifesto.
Well, it just came out. It's it's a group that's demanding open cloud.
West of the Mississippi.
Yes. Open cloud, meaning it has to be followed. Any cloud, any
has to be open.
Any cloud initiative has to follow these rules and guidelines. And Microsoft, of course, is like just blowing its top over this.
You know who's leading this is IBM.
IBM is probably behind a lot of this stuff.
It's just, not.
They've been waiting to give the needle to Microsoft for decades.
IBM, I don't know if this is a rumor or it's going to happen. Of course, there have been rumored that they're going to buy Sun, which would make a lot of sense if they are going to be supporting cloud computing. What open cloud means is not Microsoft, or if Microsoft does it, we have to. Yeah, I mean, it's clearly anti-Microsoft. According to the IBM, Reuven Cohen, who's the founder and chief technologist for Enomaly, a Toronto-based startup and one of the manifesto authors, the open cloud manifesto is basically a pledge to develop standards that would make it possible to easily, move applications from cloud to cloud. So if you're on Google Docs, there should be some standards that say I can go use Zoho without having to copy and paste or something, so that you're not tied to this single provider. I think that's right on.
Is this purely software-based, or are we talking about hardware requirements?
It'd be software.
This?
The whole point of the open cloud is I'm sitting here with my browser, and I'm using software on a server. And the problem is, and this is the same problem you have with all of these things, you know, you sign up for, you know, Twitter, and you want to use Jaiku, and there's no portability. There needs to be portability. I've always thought this. When you put stuff on a cloud,
never going to happen.
Well, yeah, it's completely against every economic interest.
Yeah. That's why I don't like the cloud. And the other thing is I don't like about the cloud is the fact that I can...
You don't like it because it's closed.
Well, that's one thing. And being closed, that means if I'm, for example, a Google user and using Google Docs, and I've got my Google account, and I'm doing all this Googling, and all of a sudden somebody at Google takes a dislike to me and just cuts off my account...
You're screwed.
What am I going to do?
Yeah. Well, in fact, Google is not a signatory to this, nor is Microsoft, nor is Amazon, which is the biggest cloud provider. One person who reviewed, I'm quoting from an article in the Wall Street Journal, one person who reviewed the manifesto and declined to participate, they won't say who, said that companies weren't given an opportunity to edit the document, just say yes or no.
I guess my only question is, how prohibitive is this? Because if you think of eventually, if this goes down to the level where it's mom and pops trying to create their own...
I got a cloud.
Yeah. You basically have some...
Well, man, it was there. It was like a softball coming over, and I couldn't pull the trigger.
Hey,
computers do you have?
Get off of my cloud. No, I got a bunch of servers, and I got an IRC. This is a cloud, the IRC. I got the Twit Army. That's a cloud
application. I'm thinking this guy down at Alameda Recycling who has like 500 computers... Have you seen this guy right off of 80?
He's got computers.
What is he doing?
He's got a
cluster?
Computers in an old recycling bin, and he's trying to create a supercomputer in his own mind.
In Alameda?
Yeah.
Supercomputer in his own mind. I have a supercomputer in my mind.
But my point is...
Don't look at me like that. Would you like some more wine?
I need some more water, actually.
Water and wine for Mr. Dvorak.
Talk about the Google AdSense kicking people off and stealing their money.
Yeah, that was a funny article. I found that on Hacker News. I don't know how. Basically,
thinking of us stealing.
It's a pretty funny. It says,
"Hey, you're out of here."
It's from slash7.com. slash7 is Amy Hoy. Her title is "Google is evil, worse than PayPal. Don't use Google checkout for your business." I guess they had a.
Is that the way she sounds?
Well.
Look at her and you tell me.
She sounds like a hillbilly who's living in Austria. That's just weird.
Google is evil. She's wearing a little straw cowboy hat. So that softens her a little bit. She lives in Vienna, Austria. So it's more like Google is evil. Worse than PayPal. Do not use Google checkout for your business. So
you're kind of going into a Schwarzenegger.
Well, he's from Austria.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's the only Austrian I know. apparently she had a merchant account that was closed. They won't tell her why. They kept $2,000. Big deal.
What do you mean?
Oh, I'm sorry. $200.
Well, that's still too much.
But this more interesting was this story about the guy, what's his name?
Aaron? Oh, Scriptaculous, which lost $2,000 to AdSense.
And took him to small claims court in Santa Clara.
What happened?
He won.
Of course. Nobody follows up on small claims court. Is one of the most underutilized resources in the United States.
Great. Under $7,000, I think, is the limit. Is that right, Dad? Something like that?
Yeah, it changes from place to place. Yeah. But the point is that you can the other party usually never shows up, and the judgment's always against them, and you can then attack them.
Google sent a paralegal because you can't actually send a lawyer to small claims
court.
And the paralegal basically just read the EULA, and it was...
This is the EULA.
They lost.
And the judge said, screw EULA. And that was it.
And the thing about small claims court is all they can do is force them to pay the money. They can't actually offer a judgment that changes or offers any type of...
Well, so if you've been taken for less than $7,000, go. Yeah. Go. And you're not allowed to bring a lawyer. You just do it. You have to do it yourself. So it's cheap.
Yeah, you go in there, you go beg for the, you just make a logical argument and they ask the other...
Is it like on TV, kind of?
It's like Judge Judy. Exactly. Yeah, and they have the people screaming at him.
You know
the whole
what?
Thing.
That would be a great... web show is people wronged on the internet, and we have Judge Leo and Judge DeVore.
I'll do that. I've got the desk. I have
so
a wig somewhere.
Great.
Can I wear a wig?
It's that wig you wear on Fridays.
I want to wear the wig.
Like a
and
flame
the black robes.
War adjudicated?
Yeah. Oh, good. We could sit him right there. Well, this is made for doing that.
It's so brilliant.
Oh, that's a great idea.
It could be a big show for you.
Or for you, Becky. If you want to come here, you could sit on the ball. You could do it.
She can't be mean enough.
Judge Becky.
Shut up, Deborah.
See?
You'd be good at this. I can't be mean enough.
I feel bad
either.
Now.
Yeah, see?
She feels bad.
Shut up. I can't do it. No, John, I think you're the one who has to do this.
I could do it.
Really
I could totally do it. Say, you are full of it. Get out of my sight. Go ahead. Let's hear it. How would John C. Dvorak?
What would be the flame war like?
We got to come up with a flame war.
This would go like, what, are you kidding me? You have your nerve even coming in here.
I think this is it.
You paid him in SIM dollars. That would be awesome.
All right. I think we've come up with it.
That's great.
Another great discovery.
Actually, In the Motherhood, an ABC show, just to be completely only talking about ABC shows, from a web series. That was the original genesis of that now primetime show was a web series.
I never heard of this show.
It's just launched. It's one of those just launching after sweeps. And it has like Megan Mullally and some other funny chicky type.
Yeah, I saw it. It's,
But it's just kind of interesting
it looks good.
To think about.
It looks
all
like,
the weird...
I think it's a dog.
It may not live, but I think it's interesting that it's the genesis of the
series.
It
just
web.
Sounds like a bad idea for a
show. It's because you have a...
So did you just the
no,
stream?
I watch it. I watch it some TV.
The stream, did you watch the Streamies last night? The Streamies?
What the? Huh? What?
The Streamy Awards. Come on now. This is the big award.
Everything has to have an E thing.
The big award show.
The Streamies.
The Streamies is the big. It's the big award show. For although I have to say, if you go to Streamy,
did you win?
No, I didn't.
Well, you're Mr. Stream.
Well, the kind of the irony of it is none of the shows were streamed. They were all like Tiki Bar or Dr. Horrible. They were all download.
Oh,
that's
so it was
Miss
Lame.
You know what this is?
They didn't want to call it the downloadies. But look, if you go to the website right now, streamies.org, you get AT&T Broadcast Operations. What do you get? What is that? They're putting a color card up.
Have you guys ever? What is that?
It's the stream is down.
Tom Merritt was there, and he was tweeting from there, and it was sort of, they need Molly, was basically his, which I don't know what that meant, but have you guys ever done any
LA-based
web video productions?
I'm trying to find out who won, because
no.
Web-based video productions, what does that mean? I don't even know what that means.
She's going to explain it.
Well, there's San Francisco people trying to make web video.
Yeah,
there's
like
New
Dr.
York.
Tiki, like...
You
ninja?
CNET.
No. I'm not doing
Revision
shows, but
three.
Ninja
you're
Revision
doing,
3.
You're doing a show right now,
but we don't. But it's streaming. It's only streaming.
Yeah.
But we're going to do downloads. Actually, that's
is,
next. We're going to do
the
downloads.
Video.
Yeah, yeah.
The video
this is it.
Associated with
yeah,
the show.
This is
then
it.
There's
yeah.
New York stuff, which is
yeah.
a little bit more
slicker,
newsy,
New Yorky,
flashy.
New Yorky.
And then there's the LA
you're talking
versions?
Rocket Boom,
right?
LA is more like Ask a Ninja. Or Dr. Horrible's musical blog, which is, kind of more celebrity oriented.
Okay, so let's look at it from purely cost of production value. Look at this room. The cost was like the bottle of wine.
Okay. It's not that
bad. Then you go to New York.
A bottle of wine, by the way, is probably about $250.
Really? Was it that expensive?
No, no, so not when it was. Now you'd have to pay that.
Wow.
I mean, when it came out, it was probably about $40.
Sold it. I could have made some money.
Not too late.
Then you go to New York, and people are using existing studios, and they're creating web productions. It's moderately priced because talent's expensive, and they might bring in a producer.
Right.
Then you go down to L.A. Web productions, $50,000.
It's expensive, really?
$60,000.
Really? Is it really?
I worked on a web production, early days of Yahoo, $70,000.
Oh my
for
God!
An episode.
Forget it.
It was criminal.
Forget it.
I mean, so that's where, like, grand. And they think it's fascinating. This Dr. Horrible's musical blog. They think it's just the greatest thing ever.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. I never heard of this thing.
Dr. Horrible's?
Mm-mm.
It's the Michael Patrick Harris. What's his name?
Neil Patrick Harris. Felicity was in it. Felicia. And what's her name? Felicia McGowan. What is it? I'm sorry. Felicia Day. I love Felicia. I'm sorry, Felicia. Felicia
Do you
Day.
Watch this? Do you watch
Yeah, it's very good. Haven't you seen it? It's very good.
No, okay, I haven't seen it.
Doogie Howser's in it.
Doogie Howser.
Well, that's
was
cost
done
money
during,
right there.
It was done during the writer's strike, so they had all this extra capacity to use of all these people.
And it still cost $70,000 during the writer's
strike? It cost $70,000? It was
no
well done. I'm sure it
cost
more than that. I'm guessing it cost more than that.
But that's my point.
It's never going to pay out.
Well, no, you don't do it to pay out. They don't do it to pay out.
They do it. They do it just to squander some poor investor's money is the only reason.
Concept, we're on the cutting edge.
Yeah,
we have the money. We
want
to
stream.
Being on the cutting edge does not entail spending that much money.
So this just
being on the cutting edge is doing the whole thing for $500.
And my point is that's a marathon that you can win, not a sprint you're going to lose.
Wait a minute, I have to figure
that out. I
don't
know what
she said.
That
involves math.
She just does this stuff.
That involves math. That's a marathon. I can't figure that out. I had too much Leoville button. So this just in, Mark Cuban has been fined $25,000 by the NBA for...
criticizing refs via Twitter.
For Twittering! Twitter.
All right, the first Twitter fine.
And the first Twitter fine, and he just Twittered, can't say no one makes money from Twitter now, the NBA does.
The guy's a genius.
Brilliant.
That is a brilliant,
brilliant. He has monetized Twitter.
Yeah,
thank you.
He's monetized Twitter for the NBA. Good
he's
work,
a
Mark.
Genius.
How much in fines has he paid in the past already? I mean, he's paid a ton.
Oh, yeah. He can afford it. He doesn't care.
He loves paying fines.
What was the stunt he did with the Dairy Queen thing? Was it pay out of a fine? Do you remember that?
No.
He said something.
To a Dairy Queen?
It's a long ways back, but I remember he offended someone. He ended up having to work at a Dairy Queen for the day in lieu of paying a fine.
See, Judge Dvorak would have come up with that.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to work at a Dairy Queen, buddy.
You're going to work at a Dairy Queen for the next 10 years.
By the way, this is the title of the show.
What is it?
Judge Dvorak.
Judge Dvorak?
Then to get the reaction would be, I'll judge him. He sucks.
I never met the man.
He sucks.
Video game play may improve eyesight.
I don't believe this. I think it doesn't make sense.
Study says this is in the Nature Neuroscience. I mean, Nature Neuroscience is a very high-end
My
journal.
Eyesight has been improving since I got away from the monitor.
Oh, you have to have amblyopia. Do you have amblyopia?
There's another one. What is wrong with me today?
Do you have amblyopia? It's a lazy eye.
I thought it was something else. They said namblyopia.
Namblyopia is another thing.
Yeah, I could see it improving that.
And
you got to exercise,
You got to And for people who have trouble seeing while driving at night.
Oh, really?
Researchers studied two groups playing video games 50 hours during a 9-week course. That's not that much. That's an hour a day, less. One group played action games like Call of Duty 2 and Unreal Tournament 2004. Another group played non-action games like Sims 2, which doesn't require precise, visually guided aiming actions. People who played the action games showed improvements in contrast sensitivity from 43 to 58%.
That's significant.
And no measurable improvement to people who were playing The Sims, but they slept better.
No, I think carrot juice does the trick.
You know where that came from, by the way?
With carrot juice?
The common misconception that carrots in any way improve your eyesight. It was a propaganda, misleading propaganda distributed by the British government.
I'm not buying this.
So here's what happened. In World War II, the Enigma machine was cracked by Bletchley Park, Alan Turing. And they knew where bombers would come in and so forth. They invented it wasn't the Enigma machine, it was radar. They had invented radar. They didn't want the Germans to know that radar existed, but this was during the Battle of Britain. Bombers were sent from Germany and were intercepted every time. And the Germans couldn't figure out how are they figuring out where our bombers are coming from. So the British planted newspaper stories saying This is, I sound like Adam Curry, don't I? They've landed,
you're getting there.
They've landed newspaper stories saying it's because we eat a lot of carrots, we can see really, really well.
Misinformation.
Although their carrots are all boiled.
Yeah, well, there's no carotene left. But that's apparently where the common misapprehension that carrots can in any way help your eyesight.
Well, let me
from.
Give you my anecdotal evidence. For one thing, I don't say it's the carrots, it's the carrot juice, which a big giant quart of carrot juice, or a half gallon of carrot juice will have about 50 carrots in it.
Yeah. Okay, Jack LaLanne.
So I had to do, I used to work for the Air Pollution Control District, and we had a thing called, you had to read Ringelmann. In other words,
Ringelmann
is the thick, is the density of smoke coming off of a smokestack, and you had to be able to.
Wow.
You had to be able to identify within one.
They had air pollution when you were young?
Exactly. Back we used coal, yes, and we had to stoke it a lot. Anyway, so you have to be able to identify Ringelmann in kind of a blind test within a half of a Ringelmann. But once a year, they make you do it at night. So you have to look at smoke coming off of a smokestack at night.
That doesn't sound easy.
That isn't. So you look because you can't see anything. Hey, wait a minute.
There's
dark.
No Ringelmann. I don't see nothing.
It's dark out. So I flunked. And so I went and had, like, I must have drunk 2 gallons of carrot juice. And the next day I went out to do the same test because they, you know, had to come back. I swear to God, I could see through the smokestack. It was noticeable.
Really?
Noticeable. I had no trouble.
That proves it to me. I'm satisfied.
This is one of those random Dvorak testimonials that just scares me.
I believe every word he said there.
You can take it or leave it. So, I'm just telling people out there who want to see, you know, who have night vision issues, to just drink a big, huge.
Let me ask you a question. Did the carrot juice replace, say, something in a wine glass?
Oh.
No.
It wasn't that you were drinking less of anything else.
I was drinking carrot juice on top of everything else. It wasn't like I substituted.
You weren't any less drunk, is what you're saying.
I wasn't drunk. You can't go read Ringelmann when you're drunk. It's impossible.
You can't read Ringelmann when you're drunk.
What, are you insane?
Who comes
Get out of my
ideas?
Court.
Judge Judy knows that.
Who comes up with these ideas?
I'm telling you, you hit on a great show.
It'd
be
so
brilliant.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah. Judge Dvorak.
Well, she's a producer. She can, like, put the thing together.
She is.
It's
she's
happening.
She's
That's
the
it.
Queen of this.
She
We're
doesn't...
in the courtroom right now.
Let's do an Audible ad just in case.
Hey, I have a real question for you.
All right.
About Audible that will...
Tell me your question. Okay. I can answer any question about Audible.
I have not used Audible for quite some time.
So you did use it at one time.
When I had an iPod that was about the size of a shoebox, and I downloaded some Audible books onto it for my mother, and she had a problem with it. And I'm wondering if they've reconciled it, and I thought maybe you could talk a little bit about the tech. Hey,
was it anything like that?
It looked a lot like that.
That's the original iPod, 5 gigabytes.
What a clunker.
It is massive.
Can you believe how big that is?
Look at the
And the big FireWire port on it?
FireWire
they don't even
port.
Put that on their home, their computers anymore. Bigger it's too big. I know. It's huge.
So the problem was bookmarking and going back to bookmarks and moving around.
Works great now.
Tell me about it, because I have not been on Audible on an MP3 player or an iPod since then. So tell me about the
Audible's audio format is essentially MP3, but it has a wrapper around it. And I've asked them about this. They said, we really believe this wrapper is critical because you have to be able to get back to where you left off. It has to bookmark it automatically. Now, they don't do any, you know, you don't need to bookmark anymore. It just remembers where you left off. Oh, man, we have a lot of commercials to do.
We can do it.
Let's just do them all at once.
Can we rewind this show for half an hour? So,
and we have one really good story to get to, too.
Oh, good.
I'm very excited about
it. Oh,
this.
Good. I actually have several stories
Computer
left.
Security stuff.
Well, I've been waiting for John Markoff to call from the New York Times. I don't think he's going to call, so we'll get to it. We'll get to it. He wrote the story in the New York Times yesterday, so we're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
They wrap it around with a wrapper that's really great. Now, they've just added a new enhanced format that is CD quality audio. It's incredible. I think it's 128 kilobits. But around it, they wrap a wrapper, and this works on any device you use, even if you use, for instance, a lot of people, I was surprised to hear, like the number 3 device that people use is a GPS, like a TomTom or a Magellan that can play back audio files. Mm-hmm. If they support Audible, you'll get that bookmarking automatically. It works mm-hmm. very well. It's transparency. You always go back to where you left off. That's what you're asking?
Yeah.
Is yeah. Oh, that's not a problem. Not a problem.
Days, I remember it was really tough.
It works great. It works really well. It's kind of so transparent, you don't even think about it.
Well, I'll have to give it a try again.
So I do want people to try it. Audible.com. In fact, you can tell your mom this. Audible.com/twit2. That's the website. If you go there, that's where you could sign up for not a gold account. That's Twit. Twit2 is the platinum account. Now, that's, I think most people are going to want that. That's two books a month. And when you do this, you're going to get the first two books free, first two credits free. So you basically get two books. Some books are more than one credit, but most books are one credit. And there is a huge selection, 51,000 titles. You know, John Updike just passed away. They've got a great selection of John Updike titles. If you want to go back and read what many consider one of the greatest, formerly living American novelists. I guess you can't say that anymore.
Rabbit, Run.
Rabbit Remembered, Rabbit at Rest, Rabbit is Rich. They're all on there. They specialize. In fact, there's a John Updike audio collection.
Does that angst speak to this generation?
No.
Okay, just check.
My dad loved it, though.
Yeah.
Doesn't speak to me at all. It's Mad Men. It's from that era. You don't have those problems. No. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-mm.
I just downloaded a 40-hour book.
Oh, God. Neal Stephenson?
No, Cryptonomicon's great, though. Highly recommend that. Yeah, highly recommend that. I just downloaded something called Shantaram, which is 40 hours.
I'm feeling your enlightenment from here.
It is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 files, each 8 hours and 30 minutes long. They divide it up so that you don't have too much of a giant file you could put if you have a smaller device.
Now that your commute's like 12 minutes, when do you
listen? It's pretty hard to listen. I know. I hate it. Audible.com/twit2. I still have the platinum count. I still listen to two books a month, and I just love it. That whole story from the carrots came from a book that I've been reading called Electric Universe. Highly recommend Electric Universe. It is the story of electricity, the history of electricity. And absolutely fascinating. I've mentioned it before, but another great pick. There's a lot to choose from. That's the point. Audible.com/twit2. Go over there. Give it a try. Sign up today. We know you're going to love it. And we thank Audible so much for their support of This Week in Tech. And actually, they're a great supporter of podcasting in general. They advertise on many, many podcasts. They might be the number one podcast advertiser now. They deserve your support. That'd be a good one. Celebrate Woz's victory, his survival.
I think it's underrated, the podcasting advertisement opportunity. I don't think these guys take advantage of it.
Well, Audible does. Same. Audible gets
it. They're like one of the few.
Yeah,
it's like in radio. I think has always been an underrated vehicle.
This is better even because
You can stop. you can stop and listen to a commercial twice. I mean, I've
great save, Dvorak. Nice. Judge Dvorak.
Listen on the radio and I go,
What was that? No, I want to hear that number again.
No, I can't go back.
No, I think people are being more engaged in podcast listening. It's so hard to listen to a podcast. You got to be, you got to make the effort to listen to it. And I think it works very well.
I think the fact that podcasting revenue is undervalued has to do with the fact that it's for people who drive and commuters. And
I agree with you.
The bell curve gets no love. And that just doesn't seem right to me because we buy a lot of dish soap.
Wait a minute, I got to show you. We had an advertiser. I'm going to give this to you because you got a 1 year old.
Two.
You got 2 1-year olds. I'd give you two if I had them. Here, have some of this.
Is it diaper rash cream? Please.
Oh. What is
booty
it?
Goo.
It's called booty goo.
You know what? I got a wicked case of this going on at my house.
You're
going
to like this. This is the best. Smell it. Go ahead, just smell it.
Wow, booty goo.
Wait till you smell this. It's so good.
When we get a case of diaper rash in our house, it's like Ebola hit.
No, you're going to.
Ooh.
Yeah. They were an advertiser. Booty goo. It's a pharmacist in, I think, Louisville. And he makes this thing up.
Ooh.
And it's got Egyptian camphor. It's got some amazing stuff in it.
We use Boudreaux's butt paste.
No, this is better. Booty goo is better than Boudreaux.
Okay. All right.
I think there's something in the South.
Well, let me ask you a question.
They must have more problems with
this.
Let
me ask you a question.
Because of the
Leo.
Humidity.
Well, why do you have that stuff behind the desk there?
Leo gets a wicked case of chafe in between shows.
When you sit on a ball all day long.
Look at you. You know why? Because Leo has something called MPAL.
What's that?
It's a terrible something
that
we diagnosed years ago.
Yeah, she was the first to discover that.
It's called male pattern ass loss. And it's like it falls off a shelf. No, you're sticking it out.
No, I don't. I've been working out.
I think your ball shows that you've got some glutes now.
I've been working out, baby. I'm working out on the ball. She so humiliated me with my M-Pal.
Your M-Pal was bad.
It used to be bad.
It happens to guys when they stop.
It's like concave.
When they're desk dudes.
It goes concave.
It comes right off the end of your spine and it goes.
Boom. There's nothing there.
But I'm
I've been doing the lifts and the hands and the huh.
Your M-Pal is better.
M-Pal.
I got to get that coin.
So embarrassed.
So what is this great story you were going to tell us about?
Have we paid off?
I don't really want to sit here talking about Leo's butt.
Okay. So Leo, you found this story and sent it to me and I just found it was
New York Times. John Markoff, our friend John Markoff, who someday will be on the show.
Two separate research papers done, one from Cambridge University and the other from a college in Toronto, Trinity University. And these researchers were given access to the OHHDL offices, the Office of His Holiness, the Dalai Lama.
By the way, that was a fake Twitter account.
Oh, had to bring Twitter in. And the point being is that these pro-Tibetan groups felt that the Chinese government had compromised their email and was intercepting email and confidential and top secret documents. And what they had some impetus where a diplomat was called, told not to participate in a meeting with pro-Tibetan groups. And the only way the Chinese...
They had transcripts of his phone calls.
And also a woman who was working for this group was stopped at a border and they had transcripts of her emails.
That's it,
And the point being is that they found actual malware on the computers in the Dalai Lama's offices.
And not just any old malware.
This would be China.
Not just any old malware. It could turn on the camera.
Yeah.
It could turn on the audio. They had complete control of the system. But here's the thing. They said, well, and then we looked a little farther. And this is everywhere. They found 1,395 computers.
You get it to work here. You might as well check it over here. Mostly, you probably have it on yours.
Mostly Southeast Asia and Asia, right?
Right. Embassies, well, that's NGOs.
That's their sphere of influence, yeah. And of course, the CIA, the NSA, we don't do anything like that.
No, I'm sure this is happening in widespread.
That's why I wanted to get Markoff on, because he's done a lot of reporting on this. He says that analysts say the Russians are doing it, the U.S. is doing it, and China's doing it. Those are the big three. We're all engaged in this cyber spying, basically, right?
Reading the white paper, I think the interesting thing here is that the reason it's coming to light is that the Dalai Lama's group has a policy of openness, and they are making this known.
Most governments wouldn't say anything.
Would never say
We've been compromised. Let's, you know, shut down.
Most NGOs, most corporations, it would be.
Most banks.
Issue.
Right.
It would be a donor issue. It would be an embarrassment. And so the only reason this is coming to light is because it's their policy.
Thank goodness.
I just think it's fascinating because they're calling it whaling, not fishing. Big targets.
You know, there was a term called spear phishing, which was kind of the same thing, where it was targeted phishing. This is a whaling because it's aimed at the biggest, right? Not just.
That's not a new term. That's an older term.
Well, spear phishing is an older term. I'd never heard whaling before. Yeah, but spear phishing, same idea. So they'll send an email targeted instead of the kind of mass email that a phishing email would go after millions of people. That targeted, saying something like, His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, wanted you to see these pictures of Anna Kournikova. And that way...
that would get me to...
You would open it up.
But this is where they even reference Mitnick in here, because the way that they initially infected a monk was the initial target. They've actually done the forensics and gone back. And what they did is they participated in a message board and then found a monk who had the right email address, sent him a document that was logical based on the conversations he was participating in, embedded in PDFs and Word files was this rootkit. And then they went, and as the documents were once they infected that computer,
they spread.
They intercepted docs he was actually sending to people.
And would resend.
And embed that's in brilliant. The attachments. And resent.
The point being, if you are willing to be targeted enough, you can absolutely do this. It's very hard to fight.
Now, do we know what the software is? And is it this? Say the Dalai Lama was using a Mac.
Would he have been less vulnerable?
Or let's take it to the next level. What if he was on a Linux box running Ubuntu 8.1?
I think if they're targeting you, then they can target a. We know the Mac is completely. Attackable because of this recent pwn-to-own contest where a guy wins the MacBook Air and $10,000 with one click of the mouse because he knew of a Safari exploit that was previously unpublished that he was able to take advantage of. So there are holes in it. Well, I don't think it's completely hubris. There are fewer holes, but there are holes. There are lots of them. And there's lots of holes in Linux, too, if you know where to look. And you know, the main point is you need to know which distribution they're running. You need to know more about the target than you would know to spread it wide.
But they already had the intel.
Yeah, exactly. You know what what computer does the Dalai Lama run? And so they can write something that's very specific, right?
How about running a little VMware program that rotates you through various operating
systems?
There
you go. That's a good idea.
And you never use the same one in the same day, you know, and you just keep
These guys go into great detail about how
to be defensive. What do they
say? To advise NGOs and such. And they've said basically it's all social engineering.
Right.
And that at a certain point, you know your vulnerabilities from a technical perspective, and you can only do what you can afford to do defensively from a technical perspective.
Right.
But the one place where you have an opportunity to make a big difference is teaching people about the social aspects of this kind of hacking. And I think that's a really good point, especially corporations who are trying to please their customers, trying to give them information. It's the whole Mitnick thing all over again, but actually put into practice.
Very interesting.
We shall see, no?
We shall see what happens.
And there's the other thing that's interesting is, what's the recourse? We need Judge Dvorak on this.
I'm going to ask Judge Dvorak in a second about a Japanese game that some are saying we should ban. It's a rape simulator.
Ugh.
Oh, boy. God. Oh, boy. But
those crazy Japanese.
But this really puts it on, you know, how bad does it have to be before we ban it? Is free speech protected for everything, even the most Anyway, this is from an article in the Slate. We're going to talk about that in just a second. And a whole lot more. But first, I want to tell you about my friends at Carbonite. This is actually probably an apropos time to talk about Carbonite. Carbonite is online backup for Mac now, as well as Windows. And it's important, and we all know it's important to back up, but the thing about backup is backing it up to an external hard drive right next to your computer is useless. You got to back it up somewhere off-site.
Back it up.
Get it out. Back it up. You got to, Steve Gibson sends CDs to his mom. That's one way. Get it off-site. I like Carbonite. I use Carbonite. Isn't that funny?
I can't play these CDs.
There's no music on it.
Not even in the car.
What are you doing? I threw them all out. I didn't think there was anything on them. 13% of hard drives crash in their first year. 43% of people lose files they consider irreplaceable every year. This is the one that gets me. 10,000 laptops a week are reported lost or stolen in U.S. airports alone.
Ouch.
10,000 left on the belt.
Where's those TSA guys? Aren't they helping us here?
eBay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, really? You can get some great deals on laptops from that TSA site.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, I bet you can.
TSA eBay.
And by the way, only about 3% of them are ever recovered. So this is the time to back up. Here's what you do with Carbonite.
I just call mine.
You call your laptop?
Yeah, and then when it rings and I know where it is, I can go get it.
You have a phone in your laptop?
I'm just kidding.
I have Gadget Track on mine.
What's that?
If you don't put in the right password, when it gets online, it shuts down and starts taking pictures and emails.
It's kind of like LoJack, yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, going back to the Carbonite thing.
Thank you.
She's good. She's not as good as Calicanus, but she's
Thank
not
you.
But I have no
Carbonite. Carbonite.
I actually just recently had to do the data recovery on an external drive.
It's painful.
500 bones.
Yeah.
And that was the friends and family rate with data doctors. It's
painful. Carbonite Mac and Windows, less than $5 a month, unlimited backup of your most important, your irreplaceable files like your email, your music, your photos. Just think of all that stuff that's on your hard drive that you would hate to lose. You don't need any extra hardware. It's automatic. You just right click on a folder, say, yeah, Carbonite, keep track of this one. And that's it. It does it automatically in the background without thinking. Go to Carbonite.com. You could try it free. Carbonite.com. Offer code TWIT. Or if you use that, by the way, after 2 months, you get 2 months. I'm sorry. If you use that, you get it for free without a credit card. And if you decide to sign up, you get 2 months free with the offer code TWIT. Carbonite.com. Now Mac and PC. Is there any more wine?
He's back. He's coming back.
I think we're out of the wine. So I need some of that cheese, I think.
All right, let's bring it in. So
here we go. Let's go with some more stories.
A game that lets you reenact the Kennedy assassination. What about that? That was JFK Reloaded?
Nah.
In poor taste?
In poor taste. But is it as bad as a game that is a rape simulator.
That's from the Japanese?
Yeah, it's called...
So what comes with this game?
Ugh.
I don't even want to know.
Can we get it? I mean, okay. I draw the line at Bukkake simulators. That's it. Sorry.
New York City...
Well, there goes the show.
New York City Council Speaker Christine Quinn has joined with the New York Alliance Against Sexual Assault in calling for a ban, U.S. ban, of the Japanese rape simulator game. A simulator game is called Rape Lay.
Well, where is this sold?
It sounds like a publicity stunt.
I mean, Best Buy shouldn't be running out to stock the shelves, but isn't this another free market issue?
Of course, you can get it online. Pirated online. Google it. You can find a fully functioning English language version of the game.
I know I'm being casual, but I think you draw the line when it's child porn.
I think that's pretty awful.
And then, but this is horrible.
Well, okay, so we can drop that topic since you brought up child pornography. What about the 14-year-old girl who got busted for sexting?
This is
old school. She got thrown out of school, right?
No. The latest thing, she
got arrested?
She was arrested by the cops.
So what did she sext?
A naked picture of herself. I don't know which.
I don't think it was.
Oh, so it's child porn because she's a child.
Yeah.
But it's her own picture.
This has been going on ludicrous. For the last 6 months. This story has happened in Wisconsin, in New Jersey, in New Hampshire.
This kid is a registered sex offender
she's
now.
She's going to be
because
if they find guilty.
She texted.
She's a
she sent
a to naked... society and a pornographer.
Okay, Judge Judy, you're late to the game. So here's the deal. The DAs are drawing charges on a lot of these cases because they want to make an example and they're trying to teach the kids not to do the sexting. The most recent
development... Yeah, but this is a kind of a strong example.
But what are you going to do? You got to teach the kids
not to do...
She
wasn't naked, by the way. She was in her underwear.
I think she was a bra even, I think.
Yeah.
But a group of parents has just come back and countersued the DA, saying this is too extreme.
That came... That was stage two of the story.
Right.
Stage three is when she just got arrested by the cops like a couple days ago.
Oh, this is all the same story?
Yeah.
Oh.
By this guy in Pennsylvania.
Oh.
Or Jersey, one of the two. I got the story here somewhere. Let me look it up.
This goes back to my thing about it started with shoe mirrors. And then it was people photocopying their asses.
Did anybody
on the Xerox
ever really
machine.
Do a shoe mirror, or is that just
a shoe mirror?
Apocryphal.
It's a technology that's being
it's
used
apocryphal.
In an inappropriate manner.
It's and apocryphal.
It's like the guy throws all the pennies on the stage.
Yeah, pick it up.
And then it gets old. Like the Xeroxing. Who Xeroxes their ass anymore? Nobody.
Not me. Not since
the episode.
I've learned.
AskJet 2000.
We had to get a whole new Xerox machine. Those things are not cheap. Speaking of hamsters get nanotechnology now, but we could be waiting for 10 years. Story in Wired magazine. A nanowire attached to the back of a hamster hooked up to an oscilloscope. The rodent scurried around. It generated 70 millivolts. When it stopped to lick itself, the power levels decreased.
Such a horrible image.
Where are you getting this story?
Wired magazine. And the point being...
So we can power the universe with rats.
We can have...
So long as they aren't licking.
These nanowires, these zinc oxide nanowires, which when you bend or shake them or stretch them, generate power.
Huh.
And
this is all part of the smart grid.
Well, more like you could use this for devices in a human being. You could put a device in, self-powered device.
It would have to be some low-voltage device, let me tell you.
It could be your cell phone. You have a little charger.
The best part of this article is there's a graph that shows how much power generated by running versus scratching.
Whatever happened to those power generators that were going to be in subway stations and take the foot imprints of people who are coming off the trains and translate that.
Really? Somebody
power.
Was going to do that?
Yeah,
there have been
that.
All these sorts
of these crackpot
we're
ideas.
We're going to take kinetic energy and turn it into real energy.
Or wearing corduroy or, you know.
I mean.
Why do you have a ukulele?
It makes me feel better.
She's
now
like
my
Elvis.
My wine's gone. I got to hold
like
my
Elvis.
Axe.
She's got, like Elvis always had a guitar. He never played it.
She can actually play it.
It's not tuned. Actually, that's pretty good. Wow.
Feel more comfortable.
That's really good.
Axe.
That's really good.
It isn't tuned up.
Why don't I have a
Why
harmonica?
You tune it? If you're any good, you can just tune it by ear.
My dog has fleas. My dog has fleas. My dog has fleas.
My dog has fleas. Ooh, that last flat.
Yeah, that's fly.
That's enough ukulele for this.
Yes, please. Anything.
Okay, that was good though.
I could be the
what was that song?
since my baby left me, I found a new
place. In fact, Elvis actually originally did the song with a ukulele.
Absolutely. He's Hawaiian.
He got to Hawaii.
Got some advice and went to a guitar.
I was learning Free Ride.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, it's hard.
Wow.
It's not the fingering, it's the picking, I find. Don't you find? The fingering's not so bad, but the picking, because you... Look at that.
Okay, Stairway to Heaven, hit it.
No, she's... What is she listening? She's playing something beautiful.
You have to just start with the fingers.
Look at that, though. See, she's doing the picking.
Yeah.
See, that's what I found hard.
Okay.
See, you can learn the chords or the...
You just have to practice more, Leo.
I think so.
She obviously spent some time doing this.
Did you learn that in school?
Fifth grade.
Wow. No, what you should have said, I just picked it up. I've never played it before.
Never seen this thing.
Learn what? What is that?
That's
the smallest guitar I ever saw.
Wow.
What do you do with that? It's only got four strings.
Actually, it's really cute. My dad is here in studio, and I have my uke at home, and you can see he took his pen, and he wrote my name in it when I went to fifth grade class so nobody would steal it.
Yeah.
Did they have, because you grew up in Hawaii, and you went to school in Hawaii, did they have?
Yeah, Willie, that's right. Willie Nelson has his name on his guitar.
There you go.
Lucille. His guitar, I held his guitar. It's quite worn. Remember that?
Oh, it's amazing.
It's quite worn. And I asked him to hold it, and then I realized after the fact, that was kind of probably intimate.
You kiss his wife?
Yeah, you don't ask to hold somebody's guitar. But he was very kind. He let me. He's probably high.
Well, you didn't just grab it.
No, I didn't just grab it.
Give me that thing.
I said, may I hold Lucille?
First concert I ever went to, Willie Nelson.
B.B. King's guitar's name.
It's not Lucille. What is it? What is the name of his guitar? Willie. It says it right on it.
My mom had to put me in the car halfway through the concert because I was getting a contact high, and I was only 7.
There, I did go see him that night after he came to visit us in Honeysuckle Rose 2, the bus, and it was very smoky in that show. I can understand why your mom was concerned. Yes. It was extremely concerned. Okay, so Microsoft says there's one very simple reason you shouldn't buy a Macintosh.
No.
$500.
Just one?
They're boiling it down to cost.
Oh,
the bomber goes off the
Gee, that's astonishing they'd come up with this.
Well, wait a minute, though.
How did that happen?
Don't you think they might sell Windows on better functionality? More, I mean, there's a lot of you could, to choose cost seems like almost like you're giving up. Like
it's not almost like you're giving up.
No, I think
it's giving up.
It's giving up.
What are they going to say about
delusional?
Why don't they say that
you
about
live in a bubble where
the
real
worst,
people
the worst part
with
about
real incomes. You don't even know.
The worst part, to quiet her for a second, the worst part is the argument plays against them when it comes to Linux.
Which is even cheaper.
Yes, which is even cheaper.
So that's a good point.
So they're crazy. They're crazy to make this assertion.
Oh, my God. You guys are
Can I play
nuts.
This ad? I have to play this
Why?
Ad.
Why? What are you talking about?
Because the average person can't manage a Linux box. The average person can't afford
a
Mac.
The new Linux, Ubuntu, anyone can run. I'm telling you, you could even you.
Oh, I've got something in my hand. I can reach right across, Judge Judy.
I know, but that's very valuable instrument.
So what they did is they actually offered people money. They said, this was kind of mean. They said, if you can find, what are you looking for in a laptop? If you can find a laptop for under $1,000 that has everything you want, we'll buy it for you. And so they went out and they here's the
This
here,
is Laura. She told us she wanted a laptop with
speed, comfortable keyboard, and a 17-inch screen.
For under $1,000. We told her, you find it, you keep it.
Here we go, guys. Now we're on a mission. And we're looking at the Mac store. Okay. For $1,000, they only have one computer available, and that's a 13-inch screen. I would have to double my budget, which isn't feasible. I'm just not cool enough to be a Mac person.
There it is, right there. I'm just not cool enough to be a Mac person. That's Microsoft's selling point.
No, that's a counter.
I love these guys. They can't come up with anything.
I'm just not cool enough.
Okay.
They think they're being
sarcastic. 250 gigabyte hard drive, 4 gigabytes of memory. We're getting good work done here, guys. This is like a phone. 16.4 inch screen. Oh, what's over there? 17. We have the HP over here. We have that one. They both have the 17 inch display. But the look of that one is drawing me. Oh, okay. This one has all of my qualifications. I'm going to buy this computer.
It's cheap.
Congrats, Lauren. It's a PC.
How do you plan on paying?
Cash.
I got everything for under $1,000. I'm PC, and I got just what I wanted.
Sure you did. So, what'd you buy? A two?
Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do with this show. This show is the rudest show we have ever aired.
Really?
I don't know what to do.
Really?
It's you, Becky.
Is it really?
Yeah, you caused the problem.
Well, why just serve the wine?
So,
it was the wine.
Yeah, that's what it is.
So, can I have some more, by the way? Did we finish it?
I don't know. You know, your staff is
I'm never going to get asked back. This is the first good marketing strategy Microsoft has taken on.
You think it's right on. You think focusing on price is exactly where Microsoft is.
Only in this economy. I think they're going to make the mistake of thinking this is generally a good strategy.
Do you know that 9 out of 10 computers sold on Amazon in the last 6 months have been netbooks?
Well, that's true. Netbooks are huge.
And that goes to show...
That's a very good point. They're cheap.
Consumer is all about thrift right now. And
just a slurp.
I think Apple is...
Just have a little slurp there, John.
I was a bartender.
All right, thank you.
I also have to say that you said that it was mean. What about the 300...
Talking to the microphone,
try talking to the microphone.
It's much better if you're talking
to the
microphone.
And you know the way I see it.
It is.
I was at the show the other day. Sorry.
That's not a microphone.
Hello, Mom.
So anyway...
Okay, so here's my point. I think actually John makes an excellent point that they're going to have a problem with Linux. But my point is, I don't think people are so price conscious that the sole reason they would buy a computer is because it's cheaper. Is that the sole reason you buy a car, because it's cheaper?
Nobody's buying cars.
Well, that's a
good
there's point.
An answer to do.
That's good. So you think in this economy, all people care about is how cheap it is. And now you realize that's a stupid thing to do if you're buying
a computer.
I think
it's a major consideration, not all.
But that's all they're selling. At no point did they say it's more powerful, it's got more... I mean, there's a lot of things you could sell Windows with.
You could.
We've got more programs to choose from. It's got churros. There's a lot you could do. But all they said was, I'm not cool enough to own a Mac. There's basically... It's not even price they're selling. They're saying something about... There's something. It's class warfare.
It's classism.
It's classism.
That's really well put.
You're listening to Rush Limbaugh.
Listen, people. Let me tell you something about class.
I think that the tech industry as a whole is going to suffer more from this economic downturn as we recover than most other industries, because we have benefited from the fact that people think technology is cool. They think it's a must-have item. But when the dollars hit the fan... They're going to realize, you know what?
It's first thing they drop.
7-megapixel, 10-megapixel camera. What do I care? I'm going to use the old one.
Well, or you could say, conversely, that the entire tech bubble has been fueled by cheap credit, this kind of phony credit, and that people were buying all this crap, and now they're going to stop, and they'll never come back.
And, I mean, that goes all the way down.
They always come back. I wrote a column this last Friday in MarketWatch discussing the Best Buy numbers, because Best Buy seems to be some sort of a leading indicator.
Are they surviving?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
But one of the things that's interesting is that, and I think that this proves out, is that the tech scene is the first to suffer in a downturn and the last to recover, because it takes people a little while to like get their feet wet again. But they pull out immediately. They stop buying stuff they don't need. Junk.
I would,
because it is junk. It's shiny junk.
Most of it's junk.
Yeah. Cell phone numbers, big for them, because what I've seen is smartphone sales pretty good, and that would be a place where...
Well, Best Buy's not making... I mean, they're losing...
Less.
I mean, their growth has gone way down, and it's going to continue to go down throughout 2010, according to the analysts.
What's their margin on DTV converter boxes?
Yeah, not so high.
By the way, I use my converter box all the time.
Is it working?
Which one did you get? I got the Channel
Master.
Yeah.
The Channel Master 9000 or the 4000?
7, isn't it?
The 7000?
Or the 9. I don't know. It's not
I'm just
a 4.
Teasing you. I don't
what
know.
What is your antenna? Because I installed one for someone in Richmond, and I powered one, and it gets terrible reception.
I didn't even put a special antenna up. I just used a little stub of the antenna that I had. I just pushed it down, so it has to be a small antenna because you're talking
about UHF. Welcome back to the Analog TV Show with Becky and John.
How many of us are out there installing these boxes for our friends, our grandparents? I've been doing a fair amount of...
Really? You got a lot of older people in your life with analog?
Yeah, and people who can't afford cable and satellite.
You want to first start off with a bow tie, the old-fashioned UHF or a loop.
It was horrible. And then I had to go Yagi. Get powered. And
get a Yagi.
There.
Well, if you want to go outside with it, get a UHF fringe antenna. They're only about $25, and you can get Sacramento from the Bay Area.
I ain't going up on anybody's roof for free. I'll help, but I ain't getting up on a roof.
You seem like the kind of a roofie girl.
I know what you're saying.
No roofies. No roofies allowed.
Just because I have man hands, DeVore.
Oh, boy.
Cut more wood than you.
So anyway, I just think this is a mistake for Microsoft to go this down this route.
Cut more wood than me? What do you do cutting wood?
It's good exercise.
Okay.
Are you? Do you really? Is that what you do out in the back?
Great exercise.
Do you like have logs brought in?
No, I go down. There's a place where PG&E drops their logs down in town.
And you burn these?
No, I give them away.
So you give away the creosote soaked PG&E thing so you can poison
your
friends?
You don't want to burn those because they'll ruin your fireplace.
It's not the actual, what you call it.
It's not railroad ties.
They cut to clean out the lines.
Okay.
But it's great exercise. I do it purely.
So you do this instead of the gym? You go and chop wood?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really good exercise.
Do you play rugby anymore?
Nah, I quit when I had the kids.
And the two knee replacements.
And the nose job. I ain't messing that up. I broke my nose 3 times in 1 year and had to get it fixed when I was...
It's a good-looking nose, though.
Thanks.
Nose looks it's a nice nose. Than it ever has.
I didn't just get it fixed. I got fixed. I'm not stupid.
It's very slim down the middle, and it's got a nice flare at the bottom.
She didn't overdo it.
No,
though.
It looks normal.
I busted in my cheekbone for a while. And then when we came back on the air, I was talking to camera from the side.
Yeah. I just thought you were a little stiff. I didn't realize it was a bad... injury.
Well, she was showing off the photos to everybody. Don't you remember that?
I don't know. I must have blanked that out.
She used to have, look at this. Look, I'm a wreck. She says, take a look at this. And you go, oh my God.
Oh, wow.
I think it's actually an interesting strategy for Microsoft to reach out to the part of the population that's been disenfranchised by the hoity-toity black turtleneck wearing Mac users.
This is the same agency, I'm going to point out, that put Bill Gates and Jerry Seinfeld in a normal person's house to find out how normal people lived. I mean, this agency, I think, is all over the map. I think
apparently they've learned.
Or they're just terrible.
Who is it?
They're terrible. They did something. They had a history of some pretty creative advertisements.
I think the I'm a PC thing is interesting.
I don't think so.
I like the I'm a PC thing.
I don't like it at all.
I think that strikes the right note, which is to say normal people, not class, but just normal people who use PCs. Apple thinks... that, the hip people use, this is kind of along the same lines, the hip people use PCs, but actually a lot of people in a lot of areas, including hip and not, are using PCs.
When's the last time we saw an I'm a Mac, I'm a PC ad?
I think they're still doing them.
I haven't seen one for months on end.
No, you're right, I haven't either.
Nothing, I don't know. You know who did an I'm a PC thing? It's Rob Enderle. He
submitted
I'm a PC.
He was on a TV show?
No, he just submitted that. You know, like all these people would just submit and they'd run it in Times Square.
That guy will do anything.
Anything to get on camera.
Shameless.
I was for a while recording people saying, I'm a twit. Mm-hmm. I was going to do a whole I'm a twit campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shira Lazar is doing I'm a geek. You know, remember the Molson's ad where I'm a Canadian? She's got a great script. In fact, maybe I'll get you guys to do something from it. It's a really cute script. And she's getting geeks all over the place to say.
You say I'm a geek?
Well, there's a whole script. It's
I'm
really
a geek.
Good.
That's it?
No.
Script for that?
Say, you know, like hashtag is not a graffiti. It's a, you know, you
right.
Say,
skateboarding is not a crime.
Right. That kind of the whole thing. You kind of go along with
it. What
that.
Do you think?
Did you ever see that Molson's ad? You never saw the Molson's ad, or you'd know.
No, I never
what I'm
have,
talking
actually,
about. No. It's a great ad. I am a Canadian. Should I play that?
Really? No. The show is that below the line,
Leo? I
don't
think so.
Yeah, it's gotten bad.
I apologize for my participation in that. I know exactly where I crossed it.
I do too. I'm not going to say a thing. We're just going to keep on going. No. Don't be silly.
Hopefully
I'm having
I redeemed myself with the ukulele.
You did. That was wonderful. That was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Another story I thought was... Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was thinking, you know, there's one of the stories is kind of slowly breaking... is that I guess Sprint WiMAX is working here and there, the Clearwire.
Really? Because they've been saying it was going to be everywhere.
They got it in Portland, and they announced 10 more cities, none in California.
No, it's all second cities. It's weird. Like
cheaper. Portland. Well, cheaper. Seattle's going to be one of them, and there's Dallas and Fort Worth. But anyway, the point is that I Twittered.
Mm-hmm.
I said it. I Twittered a bunch of people and my audience and asked anybody in Portland send me some reports and I'm getting reports back and apparently it's a very good coverage. You get six or seven
4G essentially, right?
Well,
six
WiMAX,
or seven megabits?
WiMAX. It's a little different and because it's not going through the phone company. And so he's getting 6 and 7 megabits,
wow.
and it says it's cheaper than the AT&T DSL and all the rest of the services. And
they're not going to do it for phones. They're doing it for home users or
they're doing it for laptops.
Like EVDO. Okay.
But I think a lot of it has to do – I think there's a fixed wireless receiver that you can get.
They're saying by year end, Atlanta, Charlotte, Chicago – that's a big city.
Yeah.
Dallas, Fort Worth. They kind of get two for one on that one.
Mm.
Honolulu. FW. Did I say that right?
Honolulu.
Nice. You did Honolulu.
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 It's not Honolulu.
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 Las Vegas. Philadelphia.
Now what, you're Puerto Rican? Or Cuban? Is this the Cuban?
Portland and Seattle. Next year, Boston, Houston, New York, San Francisco, and Washington, D.C.
I think Emeryville has some sort of WiMAX reach out right now.
No, there's a couple of WiMAX systems actually in the Bay Area, but they're commercial and they're extremely expensive.
Mm.
Like, so we like WiMAX? Like we're excited about WiMAX? Is
well,
it going to be great?
If it's as a backup. I mean, I don't like the idea of having – I've got the one service. I'm using Comcast.
You know, I like EVDO, speed. And I actually carry that little USB thing with
me. I don't do that because I think it's too expensive.
Well, it's very
I haven't
expensive.
Got your budget.
And you don't have the – you have a big – the cap is 5 gigs. It's easy to
– yeah, boom, you hit that.
Yeah, you hit incident. That very quickly.
But I'd like to have some backup system other than the nothing I've got.
This is, again, the Dvorak bubble. The average person just wants to have wireless that's as fast as DSL,
yes.
And they don't have to have a router that they have to manage as well as a cable modem.
Oh, you mean they want it in the house?
They want it in the house
and wirelessly. Out of the house, everywhere.
And they don't want to have to manage another box.
I think there's a huge market. I think people don't know they want it, but once they get it, they will be paying lots for it, which is just high-speed internet everywhere.
Is Dvorak crying?
No. You didn't make him cry. You didn't make him cry.
You know, I think you're missing the point. Everybody wants... No matter what you think, everybody wants to have a home network running 10 gigabit. And then they want to just pump their internet connection into that home network and just have availability every place else. But if they're floating around in their car, they would love to have mobile
anything.
WiMAX.
Yeah.
They just want to have internet
anything.
Wherever it goes. And I disagree that
ubiquitous internet is the key.
But you do also need networking. You have to have networking within the house because you got somebody in the back room or you got some kids and they want to... a copy of something or that you want to move some files around.
So you think you need a file storage, file sharing, that kind of thing, a
Absolutely.
Network attached storage?
You might need a printer network, but I think that the dream is that you don't have to manage anything when it comes
you're just
to your
gonna
connectivity.
The problem you're going to end up with, in my opinion, is you're going to end up with lost stuff.
That's how it is
now. Right.
That's all we
got.
Because
don't pay any attention to the fact that you need the backup.
That's
ladies and gentlemen, back
Carbonite.
Hello.
So, I think you have another commercial to give.
I do, but I'll get to it in a moment.
Do you know WiMAX, by the way? It's my understanding is that it's based on the same microwave technology that they use to do all these live shots for local TV.
It's just microwave.
Yeah. And it has about the same radius, was my understanding.
But that's very line of sight.
When Intel was originally testing it, remember they did it up in Park City at
right.
Sundance about
right.
4 years ago?
That's right.
And that's basically how they did their whole demo was straight microwave. And they say, yeah, it's the same technology.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's different.
I'll go do my homework.
It's a real problem
because
it's very line of sight. If it is microwave, I mean that
yeah.
you know that's
yeah no the
WiMAX
is not it's penetrating, and it's all over the place. I mean the reason that Sprint took out their broadband connect in the Bay Area was because they were going to put in something better that was going to be not line of sight. Because I used to use the Sprint broadband connect for my internet connection, I got just a little less than a megabit per second. But it was because I have an antenna. You know, they gave me a dish outside the house that was aimed right at Mount Sutro.
Mm.
Where they had the, I guess, all the transmitters, and you had to hit that thing. If you couldn't eyeball it, you couldn't get it.
Can you believe Dell forgot to buy Adamo.com before they released the laptop?
No, you're kidding.
No.
This whole Adamo thing is so sad.
Now, there's an example of saying, that's the exact opposite of what Microsoft's ad was, which is, oh, you can buy a Mac from us. It's just called Adamo. And
Molly put it best. She said, this screams out, I'm going to go take my AIG bonus and buy the Dell Adamo. I mean, she just hit it right on the head. I was like, yep.
Oh, ouch. Yeah, they forgot to buy Adamo.com. And
and just back up, this is the MacBook Air competitor from Dell that's
right.
$2,000 plus.
$2,000 starts at $2,000.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. I'll be very interested to see if there's a market for that.
It just doesn't feel like the right timing.
No. So, according to Lauren, the woman we just saw, she didn't actually really go into the Apple store.
They didn't let her shoot there.
Scandal.
Duh.
Scandal.
They didn't. 9to5 Mac, which is an Apple rumor site, said that if you notice there's a bald guy with a jacket and striped shirt walking by, he's still walking by when she leaves the store. He walks by again. Maybe he's going back and forth.
He's the back and forth guy in front of all Apple stores.
She is. Well, it turns out she's a professional actress.
Oh, scandal.
That's never happened before in a commercial.
Oh, well.
Well, there's. I mean, it's an ad.
It's an ad.
And it's an ad.
Yeah, but they lied.
Hey, total sidebar. The Research in Motion BlackBerry App Store.
Yeah.
This week.
Have you tried it?
No. What do you guys think?
Well, it's just another Me Too. It's like the Adamo. Everybody wants to do the Apple Store. But the problem is you've been able to buy BlackBerry applications on Handango and a lot of other sites for a long time. I don't know if this changes the landscape at all. And it's never going to be as seamless as the Apple Store. I mean, I think that's the real problem. Hmm. I mean, I love the Bold and the 8900? It's very nice. But it ain't an iPhone. What do you use?
I'm an iPhoner, but I was a late convert because I didn't want to leave Verizon.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And I mean,
are you still E71, John, or did you?
Well, I actually I have the E71 normally.
What do you have today?
I got it.
Yeah, yeah.
But 3 days out
that's
of the
week. That's a Nokia, beautiful Nokia.
It's like something you put lipstick on with. Turn it around.
It's as compact. You know what? There is doesn't somebody advertise that you can use your phone as a mirror?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Pre has that. The Pre is so chick-focused, you would not believe it.
Is it? Do you think the Pre is aimed at chicks?
Number one, it has the hockey puck, so you just don't have any wires. You put the Pre down on the hockey puck and it charges.
That's aesthetic.
So chicks hate wires.
Really?
Chicks hate wires.
You should look under my desk.
I know. There's no chicks here. And there ain't never been under there. And so, secondly, there's the issue of the mirror.
The mirror.
There's a mirror.
Is there a mirror on
the
back?
Pre.
Yeah, see, that is for women.
When you slide the Pre down,
is that a market? Is there a market? I mean, they know from research that women want a mirror phone so they can look at themselves in the mirror when they do their lipstick.
I have no idea what the research is. Number three, it works with fingernails. The iPhone does not. It needs an electrostatic charge.
You're right.
Actually, pick
it only works with your fingertip.
So if you are a claw chick, you can't use the iPhone properly.
If you're a claw chick, you can't use the iPhone. You can try. Can you use
hands.
This?
I don't know.
Oh, well, you can't tell me.
But,
so what's,
no, this is great, but the Pre is very chick-focused.
Anyway, I was going to say half the other time I'm using a G phone.
You like the G phone? Come on.
It's kind of a clunky phone, but I like some of its features.
What, are we talking about the G1?
Yeah.
What do you like about it?
Love it.
I like the...
love it?
I like the barcode. I like the keyboard.
I like the glowing pearl.
It's sluggish.
Yeah, well, that can be fixed. It is sluggish.
It's sluggish. Well, it's bad hardware. I'm not complaining about Android. I think Android might actually have a future, but the hardware is too slow for Android.
And it's from T1. If you're a T1 person, this kicks the Sidekick's butt.
T1.
I mean, from T-Mobile, sorry. So if you're a T-Mobile person, I always look at phones.
I get that
on
all the time.
Sorry, the process Android process.
Has stopped responding.
I don't have this problem.
I get this
so
all the time. The Android process has stopped responding. You want to wait or cancel. I didn't even do anything. I opened the phone and closed it.
I didn't do anything. There's something wrong with your phone.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's just a piece of crap.
You know what else I love about that phone is the UPC scanner.
That is cool. There's like four different applications because you can take pictures of barcodes and then say, where can I get this cheaper?
Cheaper. I take that thing shopping.
Do you
with
really
me.
Use that?
With
they must
my
hate you.
iPhone.
Have you ever been thrown out of a store doing that?
No, nobody's ever seen me. I mean, I haven't done it enough for it to actually be an issue. But my point about T-Mobile is that most people think about phones based on what's available within their carrier.
Yes, absolutely.
Not the way that
people
we
don't
want
to shift
about phones, which
the
is
iPhone
the
has changed that. You know,
software.
One-third of iPhone buyers are new to AT&T. The iPhone is the first phone people have actually
changed
for carriers.
That
which is
such a testament.
Brilliant move for AT&T.
By the way, you got a confirmation for the meeting tonight with Bambi Love.
Oh, I've been waiting for that. There's some things I like about this. Francisco.
That's a real person.
I know.
You could slide this down, right?
I know. It's all touch,
it doesn't
right?
work. You're supposed to be able to slide this notification
there
thing down.
Is.
Yeah. Well, how many times did I stroke it?
You were trying.
Well, that's what we'd all would have been asking.
I had to stroke it four times.
I didn't go there. I cannot believe this. Oh, on a Sunday, no less.
You can find the innuendo in everything.
I think that the G1 is going to evolve, and the bottom line is, I can't wait for there to be competition for the iPhone. That's serious. And I think it's the only one that's
talking
up.
About the iPhone. Talking about Dell and their Adamo thing. Don't forget they made this a few days ago. Michael Dell comes out and says that Dell's going to kill the iPhone.
Yeah, great. With their phone? Yeah. That's good.
That's a classic.
Well, I'm glad he feels strong. You know, he really believes in his company.
It seems like they're throwing everything at the wall right now.
Yeah.
Just like we're going to
do. They're troubled. They're a little bit troubled, aren't they?
Well, who knows? Maybe it's time to go big.
Yeah, maybe. Verizon Wireless has confirmed that it's ready to enter the netbook market. Verizon, what are you looking for, John?
Well, I noticed that my power thing is out.
Oh, you better plug that in.
Is the whole point here that you don't have to have an add-in EVDO card? I mean, I don't get what their point is.
They want it exactly. It's a netbook that will be sold with 3G built in instead of having that card. Now, the card sticks out a little bit, I guess, if you really like the idea of a really light notebook. Remember, the AT&T sells these notebooks for $99 at Radio Shack, but you have to sign up for 2 years service. It's the same model as the cell phone economics. We give you a subsidized notebook, but we're gonna get you for 2 years. I think it's an interesting.
Who does tech support?
Ah, that's a good question. If it's for Verizon, you're in trouble.
Well, their customer service is okay. But I'm just curious if they're going to build out a whole tech support wing to help you with this, or if they're going to default to whomever the operating
system
is.
It's from Acer. It's going to be made by Acer. So I presume they could go to Acer.
But that sounds like one of those.
It makes sense, though. You know, in a way, a netbook costs less than a handset does. I mean, they're $300 or $400.
Less radios in them, that's why.
Yeah. Well, you got Bluetooth, you got Wi-Fi, and if you have 3G, the only thing you're missing is the phone.
The GPS.
Oh, you're right. There's no GPS. Well,
so Sony, you know, they have this. It has GPS built into it.
The P90?
Their netbook that they won't call it a netbook, the one they announced at CES.
The wide one, the weird wide one.
It looks like a purse.
Yeah.
And it's red and
it's
gorgeous.
It's bad. It's not
good. $999.
Yeah, no, it's not a netbook. It's just a piece of junk.
Wow.
It's way overpriced. That is aimed at some yacht market, the AIG executive market.
That's another chick product, but playing on.
But it's wrong.
Chicks
it doesn't
dumb,
work.
They'll just buy something that's pretty and candy apple red. That bugs me.
Apparently.
I have to go long enough on this show so that we can eliminate all the profanity and still have a 15 or 20 minute show left.
It
so
wasn't
let's
profanity.
Keep going.
It was references.
It's her fault.
All the innuendo. We just have to go enough to eliminate the innuendo and still have a show.
She's on network.
I'm taking
That's
my
why. That's
right
why
now.
She's doing this, because she can't. Bottled water sexes up snails.
Oh.
Comes up with this stuff.
This is Leo throwing a dart at like Google News.
That's exactly what I'm doing at this point.
All right. Okay. To explain the story and then let's move on to something that's actually
a German study of commercially available
Can
bottled
you do
water.
This in German? Come on.
Yeah. But it's a found contamination by chemicals that mimic natural sex hormones. When the researchers raised snails in the water, they bred with extreme rapidity. A warning sign: the chemicals were active. So,
shocker, bottled water has stuff in it other than water.
Yeah.
Drugs.
Yeah. Right.
But the xenohormone that they find in this stuff actually has been shown to reduce virility in boys and early onset of puberty in girls.
Discovery did.
That's why we have all the sexting. That explains it all.
What they should do is sue the bottles.
Discovery did a documentary about this 12 years ago showing that there was
it's bad stuff.
Just a proliferation of confused gender frogs as a result of water being contaminated.
Is that true, really?
They did the doc and said that we're going to have a bunch of hermaphrodites. And
wow.
Lo and behold, just look around you. A multi-gender society that has gender fluidity
so blame it on
and
the water.
A lot of tolerance.
It's the water.
Bottled water in particular.
It's the water.
What do you guys think about this bill granting nonprofit status to newspapers?
Oh, the newspapers are going for the bailout.
I think this is genius.
Actually, it is genius. But can they still operate even? I mean, look at
for profit.
The San Francisco Chronicle is losing $1 million a week. Will making them a nonprofit save them?
I can't see it.
I don't see how. How much is their tax bill?
Okay, right. They've already got a loss.
They're losing. They're already a nonprofit.
How does KQED make money? Because maybe the issue is if they change their status, they can seek donations.
You can seek donations without being a nonprofit.
That's what I do.
Yeah, but you're not a 503C.
Well, no, I don't. But I pay my taxes.
But the people who are donating to you don't get a tax write-off.
No, they don't, and we don't. You know, actually, my accountant said you really shouldn't call it a donation in case people think they're going to get a write-off. So now I say, just money for the booze and women.
It's amazing that you've made this work. It's just my invisible hand.
Not
is
anymore. This is going
to
be the show. This is going to be the show that ends the Twit Network. It'll just be all over. And I'm blaming you, Worley. I'm blaming you, Worley. It all was going great until we brought Worley on.
Oh,
and you've been putting it off for a while.
I have been. And now I know why, because she's
a dirty girl.
She's a dirty little girl.
I I'm here with my father.
I adore Beckley,
and I'm problem.
I put it off because she was busy being a mommy.
Nice, even though you'd think she's a misogynist, but in fact, she's not.
Oh, you reversed the compliment.
She's a cismogenist.
Oh.
So now that I know she's a lumberjack, I'm going to have her back more.
No, she's a homogenous.
I got some wood in the back, if you want. No, I shouldn't have said that.
Here we go again. In the back. How did you accomplish that?
Almost anything can be interpreted wrongly. I want to talk about the game.
It's so bad.
I want to talk about the Game Developers Conference in just a little bit went on. Jeez. And actually, a very interesting announcement from Steve Perlman, the guy who created QuickTime and WebTV. He's got a new product that could change everything.
Ooh. This is your new sponsor.
It could be. This is really interesting.
Yeah, I visited.
I think this is very interesting. But first, I want to talk about GoToMeeting, and then we'll get on to that. GoToMeeting from the folks at Citrix. We love Citrix. They do those great remote access things, you know, that GoToMeeting, GoToAssist, and GoToMyPC. GoToMeeting is so that you don't have to have these meetings in person anymore. No more travel. You go to GoToMeeting.com, download it right now. It's free for the next 30 days. You go to meeting.com/twit, set it up on your computer, and by the way, Mac or PC. And then you know, next time you're on the phone with somebody and you're going crazy because you're trying to do a conference call and they're either falling asleep, they're not paying attention. Maybe they're just not getting what you're saying because it's just not very visual. And you're saying, well, it would look like this, and they can't visualize. You say, look, I'm sorry. What was I thinking? Go to gotomeeting.com. Here's the meeting ID. 9 numbers. Suddenly, within a minute, they're seeing what's on your desktops. They're seeing your computer screen. They're seeing the PowerPoint or the keynote presentation. They're seeing the web pages, the drawings. You can work together. You can collaborate. We just did a GoToMeeting, a great GoToMeeting. To plan our new audio system in here. And it was amazing. I mean, I could see pictures. We could do drawings. And it's in real time. I mean, it's really there. It's just phenomenal. Go to gotomeeting.com/twit. You've got to try this. It is free for 30 days when you use Twit. And by the way, very affordable if you decide to keep using it. The one low monthly rate for as many meetings as you want, as long as you want, really makes this useful. You're in real estate. This would be great for you. You could show houses. Incredible. Online meetings made easy. I'm sure some of your clients, I'm talking to Becky's dad. He's at real estate in Hawaii. Some of your clients are in the continental U.S. They want to see the house. They want to see the drawings. They want to see the plans. You throw them in. They're there, man. You've got them. GoToMeeting.com/twit. Give it a try today. You're going to love it. And I thank them so much for their support for the show. John, I forgot we got to do these commercials a little bit longer, give you a little more time to get up those stairs. Are you okay now?
I made it. I was kind of winded, but I think I'll be
okay. There's some chocolate and cheese. Did you get some chocolate?
I need some water.
There's a claw foot bathtub up there.
Yeah, isn't that great? This is an old bed and breakfast. Before that, it was next door is a lumber magnate and built this beautiful house at the turn of the century. He was a hardwood guy, and of course that's where we have all this wood paneling. And he built this for his daughter. He had two daughters. When they got married, he built this cottage, and there's a duplicate cottage about a mile away for his daughters. And it's a beautiful little cottage.
When you said Twit Cottage, I thought that was a euphemism for strip mall.
No,
off the 101. This is
why would I live so far away from the center of the universe, San Francisco, the Silicon Valley, and try to do a technology show unless it was the greatest place in the world. That's so, really why I'm here.
I'm afraid to tell any story now because it's going to have double entendre.
Wood in the back?
The last time that I was up in Petaluma was when we had the Call for Help slumber party with
that
lemon
was
drops
great.
And hot tubbing.
And Knob Creek. I think it was the Knob Creek that did you in.
It was the Knob Creek that did me in.
Yeah.
The Knob Creek, eh?
Oh.
And I came downstairs the next morning. A few of you, I guess, didn't, rightly so, didn't want to drive home because it had been a big party and
it
you were
was.
A little, you know, happy.
Yeah.
And so we provided sleeping bags. We cleared out the living room. And imagine my surprise when I came downstairs. I stumble over a sleeping bag with Becky Worley and there's somebody else in it, too. How did you get both of you in that thing? Both of you.
You're the one that brought it up. You're asking for trouble.
No, that was a fun party, wasn't it? It was such a great party.
Discretion in this environment.
No,
foolhardy.
That sounds like a Thoreau quote. To expect
discretion
in this environment would be foolhardy.
I think if I wanted to really do it right, I would have said it's folly.
Folly.
All All right, so we have anything else on our
on list? Live. So what do you think? Steve Perlman, who is really has a pretty good track record. He created Web TV, sold it for 400 some million to Microsoft,
where they just languished.
Where they killed it.
Worked on that project. They were trying to turn Moesha into a click and buy TV show.
Really?
So that you could click on Moesha's top and say, that's a JCPenney for $12.
Now, see, I think that's brilliant. What happened? That's a great idea.
These things have been...
It was way before its time.
Yeah. That's the thing. I mean, it could still be. It could be good.
They're
now.
They're trying to do that right now with that Pixaza, Google.
Our friend Alex Lindsay says he does. You know, he really thinks people like REI should be making web TV shows. You know, Camping with Joe, that are completely clickable. Hey, I like that tent. You click on it and you buy it.
Right.
And it's content.
It's called a catalog.
But it's a catalog. It's a catalog and it's content.
But that's the whole point. Like, we're just at the state where
it's
you
like
can do it.
It's like the Peterman catalog where they'd have a long lecture about the guy with the jungle and he found this hat.
I love that catalog.
Advertorial. Perlman. No.
So he's created a thing that, if it works, will actually, I think, revolutionize not only the game industry, but cloud computing in general. This is really cloud computing. It's called OnLive. The idea is that you can use cheap, old, crappy hardware, or even a small device attached to, like the size of an iPhone, attached to your TV, and play high-end, very challenging video games like Crysis, Far Cry, on these devices, because all the work is done not locally on your local computer, but done on the server. Now, of course, the first thing you think is, well, okay, that makes sense, but how are you going to get this to happen in real time for a first-person shooter? You got to render this stuff out there on the server. Somehow this high-definition video's got to come down to my screen. I shoot somebody, it's got to go back up, it's got to all happen. They claim they've solved that. They have partners that make me think they maybe have something there. Electronic Arts, Atari, Eidos, some of the biggest gaming companies, of course, obviously missing Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft, because this completely kills their market. It also, by the way, and I can see why Atari and EA are interested, it eliminates software piracy. But here's the interesting play. You know, they claim that they can do this with some interesting packet compression technology. But I think that the secret sauce they haven't mentioned is the partners on this are going to be the internet service providers, companies like Comcast and Verizon, who are going to sell gaming packages. So buy our internet access. But if you buy our special gaming package, we'll prioritize this OnLive content and then include the $15 a month OnLive subscription. You can play any game you want, high-end gaming.
Well, they're saying standard def 1.5 meg downstream.
And 720p for 5 megs downstream.
So that's incentive there. But what gamer isn't going to have the highest speed already if they're playing online multiplayer games?
Well, I don't think it's aimed at the high-end gamer. I mean, the high-end gamer is going to probably still have the PC or the Xbox 360 or the PlayStation 3. What it does is, and this is, why the game companies are interested, it introduces a whole new casual gamer market. You know, there's a lot of people who don't play Madden, even though they love it, because they don't want to go out and get an Xbox. They don't want to get the disc. They don't spend the money. Maybe they won't like it. But hey, if it's on your TV already, or you could play it on your old Mac laptop, there's a market for it.
Maybe. I think casual gaming to me screams out Bejeweled and the Wii.
Well, it does, but it won't in the long run. Look at the Wii. Don't knock the Wii. You know, they've sold more balance boards than Sony sold PlayStation 3s?
I loved one of the things I read about that, said there was a collective sucking in of breath in sympathy for Sony when that was announced with the Nintendo.
That's so sad.
So I went to the GDC and looked around and saw that stuff.
What do you think?
That's the last show I would expect you to go to.
Thank
you. Don't even go to CES and you go to the GDC?
I happen to be having, it's like a 2-block walk, so I figured I'd stop
in. Random.
I think GDC is interesting.
Well, it was packed.
Yeah.
In fact, the streets were so, I've been to a lot of shows in San Francisco now and again, and the streets were so packed that I've never seen anything like it. I mean, it was, we're talking packed.
Is this around Moscone?
Yeah. It was just packed.
Because even like Macworld, it's not packed.
No, it was packed, the streets. But anyway, so I went inside, and the place was pretty jumping, and they had all these different things going on. I looked at that. I don't know. I'm not buying into a lot of this stuff. It's like...
You think this is... Well, now, what's the deal? Do you think that they're overselling it? It's not going to be as cool, or... If they could do it, would it be a strong? Would it be a big deal?
The games look good, actually, and they've got that little box they had that you show, something similar to that. And I don't know. It's just something about it. I can't tell you what it is yet, but I have a negative attitude.
Oh.
That's a surprise.
Well, it's got that sort of feel
shocking.
I know.
I think here's the deal. I mean, if you could do this, it's not just gaming. It's everything, high-end video editing or anything that's too challenging for your little box. Now you can do over a server. I think the ISPs jump on this is who jumps on this. Because Comcast, look, Comcast is dying.
There's a variable in here somewhere that I suspect
that's the variable
going to be involved gouging.
That's the variable, and I'll tell you why. Comcast says... Crikey. Well, they don't say crikey, but they say something like crikey. What are we going to do?
Crikey.
Crikey, mate. What are we going to do when people can get all the TV they want free over the internet? I've already talked to these guys. They hate this idea because they don't make enough money on bits. They want to charge you for premium services. Here's a great solution. Oh, yeah, we'll give you internet service. And for $15 more, we'll give you the gold service that lets you play any game you want. Lets you do any kind of high-end computing. I think this is who's really behind it.
Do you do this on a la carte basis, though? I mean, that's the thing that's a barrier to me is the perception that you're going to pick it up on a monthly premium.
Well, people pay a monthly premium now for HBO. I mean,
I'll tell you, Business Week is reporting that the number one thing people are looking to cut in their tech bills is their cable bills.
Really?
And they are slashing.
You know why?
Done on GMA.
You know why?
Biggest hits.
Hulu and BitTorrent. People are starting to realize I don't need to pay for, you know, the United States of Terra. I'll just BitTorrent. I don't have to get Showtime.
I don't buy into that.
You think that's too complicated for people?
Yeah.
Hulu then. Hulu,
and maybe they're.
You can't get HBO on Hulu.
Yeah, but you can get all of the HBO series a year later by just
on DVD.
Netflix.
People are happy to get it on DVD.
DVD is a good solution.
Yeah, I mean, that's where the BitTorrent thing is maybe 1% of the pie. I mean, we're talking about lots of other solutions.
It's available on iTunes, too. I mean, maybe that's kind of the middle. That's not the easiest, but it's the middle of the road. Yeah. People can figure out how to buy Sopranos on iTunes.
I mean, it's ESPN 360, if you ask me.
Huh, how do I do this?
No, you know, never
Look
underestimate.
Did you see there's a little thing there?
Yeah,
for the
press the buy button.
How much is it?
I just love the bubble. That's my favorite part about being on the show.
What is the bubble?
I just feel like...
That we're out of touch with the common man.
We're
not doing the show for the common man.
No.
We're doing it for our
bubble. Agreed, but your assessment about technology and its future is a little bit bubble-oriented. Like, think about
we're just ahead of it. No, I agree. We're just ahead.
True.
It's not that what we're saying is not going to happen. It's just we're a little bit ahead.
No, I think that she's become an idealist. She works for the big boy. For the man.
I do
ABC, and so she's reads those memos, and the memos are obviously put together by the brain dead executives that run the TV station.
Who's sounding like Adam Curry now?
Anyone knows what the suit is, and they're the guys who run these networks, and they make the dream stuff up that's crazy. It's like this show that you were talking about earlier. I mean, the thing is an obvious flop before it even shows up. Let's face reality.
No, not Judge Judy. He's talking about the housewives, the mothers.
No, she's calling me judgmental. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, and this is when. So this is the perspective that you've adopted openly.
No, they want to be. They want Twitter. They want to be on the cutting edge. But the point is, the economics speak for themselves. I think Leo's point is the middle ground for both of us, which is the technology is cool.
Leo
likes
everything.
At the future of the gear, but the economics of it are such that I think.
No, I think you're right.
It's delusional to think all this stuff isn't going to fall off the edge of a cliff. It's like the 20% of all VC projects succeed. I think that's economics, not technology.
I think that's a high number.
The economics are bad right now. We're in a bad situation. We're going to be in a bad situation. I just believe that technology kind of has its own momentum that transcends economics.
I hope so.
I think people are not going to buy shiny crap anymore. Good. That's fine. I don't think that's what propels fundamental technological revolutions. And there is a fundamental revolution going on in media that's going to happen regardless. And in fact, in some ways, the economy fosters it. Look what's happening in newspapers. That wouldn't have happened for another 10 years if it weren't for the bad economy. The bad economy is hastening the fall of newspapers.
Who made the great point about computer journalism that if you look back 12 years ago, it was Computer Shopper and all the ZD pubs.
Look at
and
that.
Now
it's
all
this.
Gone. But look how much more.
Right.
So much more employment. So much more driving the economy. And I hope that the cool factor of tech stays and that we don't lose that.
No, it will. I think these trends are fundamental. In fact, one of the reasons I know people hate it when I talk about Twitter, but one of the reasons I talk about Twitter is it's a communications trend that is very interesting. I don't think I couldn't care less about Twitter, but the trend is very interesting of how people are communicating in real time. The email is too slow for people. They want a text. I mean, it could be text messaging we could be talking about. They want a text message.
I wrote a column recently in PC Magazine saying the death of email.
It is.
I find that there's bunches of people I sent them. They never answer. Oh,
teenagers.
I didn't even know.
I don't answer. I can't email. I'm overwhelmed.
You have never emailed ever.
No, the guy gets like 5,000 emails.
It's gotten worse. It's overwhelming.
It's like, what's the point?
But people want more. I think what they want is more interactive, more real time. You know, Kevin Rose told us last week he's doing this three sentences thing. If he can't answer an email in three sentences, he just doesn't. It's got to be three sentences or nothing. And that's inspired by Twitter. That's inspired by the whole idea of the quick, short, real time interactivity. Started with instant messaging. That wasn't quite enough. People are now moving to something more global, and that's what I'm seeing. But those things, my point is, those things happen regardless of the economy. In fact, in some ways, they may happen faster because of a bad economy than they would have happened.
Well, the newspaper death, for sure.
Yeah, there's a prime example,
isn't
it?
Did you read that article about, it was really interesting. They were looking back at a conference 14 years ago where they had the guys at Time Warner looking at how they were going to monetize the internets. And it was just ludicrous.
These are the people you work for, by the way.
It's the same people. They're not gone.
Same people.
They ain't gone. Who runs ABC?
Disney.
Is Iger still in charge? No, he's gone. Is Bob Iger still there?
No. Is he? I don't know. No, Iger. God. No, you should know. You work there.
I'm a contributor. David Weston is the guy who's the head of news. That's
Weston
the guy
signs
that I
your
talk
check.
To. He is all about the new technologies. And the
because
fact that
that's a very fashionable thing to say.
And the fact that
I
that's still
question whether
supports
he,
your theory.
I question whether they understand it or they have any commitment to that.
Disagree because
here we go.
Advertising dollars, the advertisers are scared out of their minds that they're missing the boat on the audience and they are seeking
those
new.
They should be
new,
giving Leo.
They are. Guess where they're going?
But
I'm rich!
More
let's
money.
See your iPhone. Do you have that app? Come on.
I'm rich. No, seriously, I expected fully in the bad economy that we would lose our advertising and we would be totally based on donations for a couple of years. I had
but
business
it's a good
plans.
Deal all along.
I have business plans set. Who I would fire? But I totally was prepared for a complete slowdown, and I thought, well, how am I going to decelerate this?
This isn't the real one.
It's gone completely opposite. The advertisers are fleeing the expensive mainstream media and coming to more targeted, cheaper, but more effective advertising.
Measurable.
Measurable, too, yeah. And that's really we have more advertisers than ever before.
And I think
we
that's
no, but I'm holding the line at three a show. That's all.
Unless it's
we could lose. Sell. We could sell five a show. We could sell six
any bets
a show.
Any bets on this?
No. I'm holding the line at three a show. I really think one per half hour is all I can do.
If you have me and Calacanis, you could have five.
We could do more, but I don't want to. I think that's
a couple of shields.
That's the value. No. That's the value proposition is you're not in a cluttered environment that, we charge more per, our cost per thousand is higher than broadcast because it's not a cluttered environment. I don't want to have 18 minutes of spots an hour. That's what radio does.
It's always
no, radio's horrible.
It's useless. I was trying to watch Dancing with the Stars. I couldn't because they do a dance. We'll be back. 5 minutes of spots. Now they give the votes. We'll be back. 5 minutes of spots. It was unwatchable.
DVR, I don't watch anything. It's not DVR.
I know you have that technique. I just didn't think
of ads. I miss them. Occasionally, I stop and watch the ads.
You've been chopping too much wood.
No. This is she is actually by law, by contract.
I have.
It's an ABC.
But you know what it is? She because has to I test these ads, so now I've stopped to watch them to see what I can test. And now I watch the infomercials nonstop. Speaking of which, the ShamWow guy got arrested.
What?
Yeah, big news.
ShamWow.
ShamWow.
For what? What did he do?
Apparently,
punched a prostitute.
I don't know. It was a prostitute?
The smoking gun.
She tried to wipe her prostitute off with a ShamWow. Didn't work out. Tried to pay with ShamWows.
Smoking gun is reporting that Vince Offer, otherwise his real name is Offer Shlomi, was arrested in Florida for punching a prostitute. They had negotiated a deal. And somewhere in this situation, there was a bite and there was a punch. And that's what the smoking gun is reporting.
Wow.
I know. I had to break the news at the end of the show.
You think he would have snapped her with a ShamWow.
That guy's an interesting... He sued the Church of Scientology once. He sued Anna Nicole Smith for reneging on a movie deal. He did a movie that the New York Post calls, I think the quote is, and I'm roughly recalling this, the most sophomoric and adolescent movie ever made. He's a very interesting character. Offer Shlomi.
Well, I want to play the ShamWow ad now. I'm very excited.
Hey, camera guy, you following me?
Who's the guy who shouts? He's everywhere.
Billy Mays. Yeah. He's actually got a new
What's
show.
What's his story?
He's got polyps, apparently.
I bet he does.
He and Vince Offer both were pitchmen at flea markets. And Billy Mays is He says he's very discerning in the infomercial products that he picks up.
Yeah.
And he's now got a show that's launching.
Only the big guys who pay the big money.
Yeah. He's got a show that's launching on Discovery called, I believe it's called The Pitchman. And he goes through products with people and decides whether or not it would be a good infomercial.
Oh, this mugshot. Oh.
Oh, on the smoking gun?
Oh.
Hey, camera guy, you following me here?
Oh, he looks like something bad happened.
Oh, why? It's never good.
Wow.
But you wouldn't think that the lighting in the ShamWow commercial would be so good that there was such a difference between...
It looks like he's wearing hospital jammies. What is he wearing?
He is wearing a hospital gown.
Maybe he got beat up by the girl.
That's wow. What... There was apparently some bad juju happened.
Wow. Hey. That's not good when a prostitute makes you really look bad.
Have you guys ever seen the Extends commercials?
No, what's that?
Oh, it must be an East Coast.
You really are the... you've really become the expert.
You've become the National Enquirer of the Twit show.
Look, there's a fine line between technology and consumer reporting at the mass market level.
Hi, it's Vince with ShamWow. You'll be saying wow every time you use this towel. It's like a chamois.
Ow!
It's like a towel. It's like a sponge. A regular towel doesn't work wet. This works wet or dry. This is for the house, the car, the boat, the RV. ShamWow holds 20 times its weight in liquid. Look at this. It just does the work. Why do you want to work twice as hard? Doesn't trip. Doesn't make a mess. Wring it out. You wash it in the washing machine. Made in Germany. You know the Germans always make good stuff. You can cut it in half. Use one as a bath mat. Wring your dishes with the other one. Use one as a towel. Olympic divers. They use it as a towel. Look at that. Completely dry. Put a wet sweater. Roll it up. It dries your sweaters. Here's some cola. Wine, coffee, cola, pet stains. Not only is the damage going to be on top. There's your mildew. That is going to smell. See that? The most absurd. We're going to do this in real time. Look at this. Put on the spill. Turn it over. Without even putting any pressure, 50% of the cola right there. You follow me, camera guy? The other 50%, the color starts to come up. No other towel's going to do that. It acts like a vacuum. And look at this. Virtually drying the bottom. See what I'm telling you? ShamWow. You'll be saying wow every time.
I can't live without it. I just love it.
And now his new product is the Slap Chop.
So here's what I don't get about the commercial. I've always thought about this. If the thing soaks up so much water... Why would you put it in the washing machine? It's just going to soak up all the water.
It's dry washing.
What happened to my wash?
By the way,
heavy sham.
I did that thing with the pie pan and soaking up 20 times the water. Towel does the same thing.
Really?
Terry cloth. Space age technology. ShamWow?
Did you do that on ABC on Good Morning America?
I have like 12 packages of ShamWow. I've been giving them away. I should have brought them.
Oh, I could use one.
Oh, I'll bring them next time. The RV.
Did you contact the ShamWow people?
Hi, it's Vince with Slap Chop. You're going to be in a great mood all day because you're going to be slapping your troubles away with the Slap Chop. Now look, here's a potato. One slap, you got big chunks for stews. Two slaps, home fries in a second. And look at this. But you add a mushroom, the more...
I would buy anything he sells. This is better than Billy Mays.
You're walking down the Jersey Shore and this guy's hawking something. You got your wallet out before you can even turn... This guy is brilliant.
This is actually what Malcolm Gladwell was saying in Outliers, that if you have 10,000 hours of experience, that's what it takes to become an expert. These guys sold this crap for 20 years, day in, day out. They got so good, they can't lose now, right?
CNBC says that ShamWow commercial is the best infomercial ever and that he is the best pitchman.
Oh, I don't know. It's the old days with Barry Betcher when he used to do those commercials for the Ginsu knife.
Those are good.
Ron Popeil.
He really set the... I think the even Betcher was better than that because the Ginsu knife came out when they always had these spectacular... they cut into fish, you know, and smashing tomatoes. And
No, it was...
They cut a penny.
All the cutting and then you would have razor thin on the tomato. The tomato was the ultimate test.
Any
idiot. But no, they always show an old... You know, if you didn't have this knife, you use a regular knife, you push it down, the tomato just explodes.
I love the voiceover thing. Oh, no. Have you ever had a situation where you're trying to dry the dog, but the towel's sopping wet? Oh,
no.
That's my favorite part. I've made like a friend. This is my business now. Infomercials have become my business.
I think this is a good angle for you, actually.
It's fun.
Hi, Billy Mays here for Mighty Putty. The easy way to fix, fill, and seal virtually anything fast.
This is more for... This is early Billy Mays. He didn't really shout quite as much.
Well, no, he warms up. Wait till he gets...
Oh, he gets shouting at the end?
If you go to the older commercials where they used to use this, some sort of... I think they started off selling car wax or something. Remember those? And they would throw... throw a lighter fluid on a Bentley and then light it up and then wax it down. Okay. So I ran into one of the guys who leased his Bentley to the infomercial company, and he had to sue him because apparently it ruined the paint.
Oh.
No matter what they showed you.
Oh my god! The flying spur polished with new. Let's see.
Billy Mays has become such a cult that there are dubovers of. I mean, just on YouTube, just tons and tons. It's like, Optimus frickin' Prime couldn't pull this apart. So great. And it is fun. I get a lot of the products. I get to test them all. There's
That's
some
a good
that
gig.
I love.
That's a good gig.
Test
there's
some
computers
that I, for us.
You know.
So you come on GMA and you will sort this stuff out. You'll say, well, this works, this doesn't work.
I give it a real grade. And
so what's the best product out there right now for the people who want to know?
How about that sweater thing? Remember that?
Sweater balls?
No, not sweater balls.
The sweater shaver?
The sweater hanger. Remember that?
I use that. No. I like...
I want the thing where it squeezes the air out. Get me one of those.
Oh, those are good.
Oh, those are good.
Well, you hook up a vacuum cleaner. Yeah.
That's well, there's really also the one you just bags. Roll it and then you push it in.
Yeah,
it
space bags.
Space bags are the best. That's the one with the vacuum cleaner. I like the H2O mop. That's a good one. The swivel sweeper.
The H2O mop, does it use water?
Shocker. They're not real, just sort of subtle cool. in the advertising.
The H2O mop uses water.
It's a steamer.
But it works. You say it works.
We all know how our floors get dirty.
Works.
The spills, the food, the dirt, the pets. But how do we get
This is overproduced.
Yeah, it is.
There's too much production. They should just get a guy on. They should get Billy Mays.
I went to Telebrands Incorporated in Bergen County, New Jersey to speak with the folks who make a lot of these. And they do pitch meetings where they look at all the products that are available and they try to determine what will make a good infomercial. And when I was there that day, they were really interested in the man groomer, which is a shaver, an electric shaver on an elbow, such that a guy can shave his own back hair. And they thought that would be a great infomercial.
Just another product out of Germany?
You know the Germans. They make good stuff.
They got the hairy backs.
And they thought that could be. And I'm actually working on my own, which is Muffin Top Girdle. And I own MuffinTopGirdle.com. Anyone who's a cyber squatter out there.
And, of course, that's the style.
It's too late.
Muffin Tops.
Muffin Top Girdle. Is it designed to give you a muffin top or to secure the muffin top?
No. It locks it down and it smooths as it transitions from your area to your jeans.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to thank you all for being here. I think it's time to wrap up. I want to thank Becky Worley. You can find her in the infomercial aisle at Good Morning America.
That's right.
And it's so nice to see you again. Thank you for coming by. BeckyWorley.com. Well, you come back in a few years. Once the stigma's worn off.
On the cycle.
No, you're in the cycle. Absolutely.
Yeah, the two-year cycle.
There's a couple of cycles. There's different cycles. John C. Dvorak is at Channel Dvorak.
Yes, ChannelDvorak.com.
Yes, and that's where you can follow him and all the wonderful goings-on. We want to remind you that we are at twit.tv. That's where all the other shows are. Most of them are have less profanity. And that the Twit Picks...
There wasn't that much profanity per se.
There wasn't that much profanity.
It was just innuendo, thanks to her.
I like
we've
innuendo.
We've been friends for 10 years.
And believe me, we've shared some innuendo.
We have.
When Becky comes in the door, love goes innuendo. Whoa. We want to remind everybody, Twit Picks is the place to find many of the products we talk about on this show. And Colleen always tells me you got to plug Twit Picks more. So there it is, twit.tv/picks. And today it's the Apple 15-inch laptop, my laptop, which I love a lot. But all the stuff that we talk about on the show is exactly. Maybe we'll even do the Sham Wow.
I think you should start shelling.
I don't know.
Sham Wow.
I need to get more experience on the streets before I get...
The streets of Petaluma.
I
bet you could pick up that banter rather quickly.
I think I probably could.
You know,
I think it'd come to me.
He's likable. He's just fundamentally likable. He'd sell a bunch of crap.
Coming up in just a little bit, Match Game Memories. I forgot to mention that we're going to get Mr. Dick DiBartolo on here. We're going to go back in time and remember the good old days of the Match Game, which he was a writer for, saved the Match Game.
I was thinking Dick DiBartolo.
Dick DiBartolo.
I was thinking of the owner of the 49ers.
Not Eddie DiBartolo. Dick DiBartolo. It's very confusing.
Yes.
Another twit.
This is amazing.
Is in the can.
Round the horn.